The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Friday, 28th day of June, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow down 20, S&P flat, comp up by 5.5, gold up $7.70, crude up 28 cents a barrel. We've had a great week. Two-sided action, back and forth, nice ranges, volatility. These are the good old days. Welcome to the show. I am Dwayne. I am your host for the next 2 hours. And I've been your host for the past 8 years. Where does 8 years of a man's life go? At least I can look back and say I spent it doing something worthwhile, sharing it with you, the CFRN audience, and of late, CFRN partners. So welcome, happy Friday to each and every one of you. The weekend is ahead of us, not just any weekend, but the weekend before a holiday. And I bet a lot of you have the entire week off next week. Maybe you're getting off early today, you're excited, you're going to do something, whatever, and you've got the week, 4th of July. I know some of us have to work, and we are going to be here. We're going to broadcast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Markets close early on Wednesday. We celebrate 4th of July Thursday. There will be no live trading room on Thursday, no radio show, no live broadcast on Thursday. We stream 24/7. Okay, so there will be radio, there will just be no live broadcast on Thursday. Now, the markets will reopen Thursday afternoon. They're going to close early Wednesday, but they'll reopen Thursday afternoon at 5 p.m. Chicago time. That's the Globex open for what is referred to as the Friday session. The Friday session begins Thursday afternoon. We will tweet the Globex open Thursday night. If you can be here, be here. If you're spending time with your family, by all means, I would much rather you do that. We'll be doing our family thing, going for a barbecue, watching some fireworks, but I'll still tweet the open, okay? We'll see if we can't spot an opportunity that carries us into the radio program Friday morning. All right, it's a week from today. Oh, it is the end of the month. I was waiting for a response. It's the end of the month.
Yes, it is the end of the month. Not only is it the end of the month, it's the end of the quarter.
No. It is. End of the week, the end of the month, end of the quarter.
End of the first half of the year.
Yeah. And so where I was headed with that earth-shattering bit of news is everybody has to register again for the radio program prior to Monday. I'm going to endeavor to get the link changed today, this afternoon. So, you know, you can do it Monday morning, but over the weekend, if you just go to the CFRN website, click the big microphone on the right-hand side of the page, that'll take you to the page where there'll be a new link. You can click that, get registered for the month of July. You only have to register once for the entire month. Please don't register more than once. It confuses the computer, okay? What'll happen is once you get registered every day, like clockwork, almost as if it was a computer. Oh, it is. They'll send you an email. Who's they? You know, the people that send you emails. They'll send you an email, and it'll say the radio show starts at 12 noon. Click here when you're ready to join. And so that's all you have to do once you're registered is each day, one-click access. Now, first day, you don't find the email. That guy said I was going to get an email. Go look in your spam filter, your bulk folder, wherever stuff hides from you. Find it, and then the from address on that email, wherever it says it came from, add that to your contact list. It's also known as whitelisting an address. Do that, and there's a 99% possibility that all future emails will go straight to your inbox, lickety-split, and not end up hiding in one of those other folders, okay? Anytime you want to make sure you get somebody's email, add their send address to your contact list. That's my free email tip for the day. All right, let's go to our good word for the day. It comes from Genesis 2:17. It talks about logic not always being such a good thing. Really? But you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Genesis 2:17. Now, perhaps it was Adam's added words to Eve that gave the serpent his opening. Here's what he said, "You shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." Now, wait a minute, rewind. Is that really what God said to Adam? That would be a great big no. That's not what he said. When God set down the house rules for the garden, he told Adam that no one could eat from a certain tree or death would be the result. He didn't say anything about touching the fruit. It appears that Adam, probably with all good intention, in telling Eve of God's command, added his own words, or touch it. Kind of makes sense, right? If you can't touch it, you can't eat it. Maybe he was just trying to help Eve, right? By adding to God's word, God said don't eat it. Adam said don't touch it and don't eat it. Okay, but that's not what God said. That seems like a little thing, right? Yet with those three added words, Adam gave the enemy the ability to challenge Eve's claim that just touching the fruit would cause death. Now again, I got to remind you, God never said that. You see, this kind of thing is one of the main reasons why the enemy is so successful in messing with us. He finds little loopholes in the sins we commit and argues that surely God wouldn't really be upset about that little sin. See, friend, this is legalism at its finest. Now, we typically think of legalism being preached from the pulpit. Here it is in the garden being preached by the enemy. And so, you and I, here's what we do. We take our eyes off of God so we can have an argument with the devil. Where's the logic in that? Adding to the words of God always leads to confusion. And I got a news flash. God is never the author of confusion. So let's try to learn from Adam's mistake and be effective believers by sharing only the perfect Word of God as it is written. And that's our good word for the day. Let's go to the chart. The chart up in front of you at the moment is the S&P 500 E-mini futures. This is an hourly chart, and this is a Globex chart. What does that mean? It means my charts run 24 hours a day. And because I'm using the Sunday Globex Open to start my charts, I'm going to always begin a new chart on the top of the hour. If you're running a day session chart, you're going to start on the bottom of the hour, the half hour. Okay, so if your chart looks a little bit different, that's why. All right. Michael, can I send a chat over to you?
You sure can.
Okay. Transferring chat. Okay, got it?
Got it.
Okay. All right. And give him, let him know that I'm live right now. That's why I couldn't chat with him.
I will do that.
Okay, hourly chart, S&P 500 E-mini futures. Really quick, I'm going to blaze through what we've done so far this week. We had, back last Friday, 1 week ago today, we had a tweet to be short below 1590. Price dropped down to 71, beautiful trade. Came back to test the 1590 important area. And then look at this drop, right on through Sunday night. Now, we picked up the ball again Sunday night, okay, on the Globex Open. We said, consider being short below 1575. We had an initial move down from 1575 that took us to 73.5, okay? Pulled back up to the important area. Get this positioned properly. Here we go. My line got moving on me. Okay, to be short below 1575, the initial move took us down. The first little move here just went to 7350. Right? But as we pressed down through 75, and if we go to the four tick range, we can have a look at the actual setup on the four tick range chart. But we're not going to do that right now because we have to be sensitive to time. Price comes down, pulls back up to the important area at 75, makes on these tweets, guys, just remember, we're going to almost always get at least two swings off of that area. So the next move down takes us to 53 and a quarter, from 75 to 53 and a quarter. This was, again, it's not my doing. This is the beautiful volatility that the market's making available. Price then pulls back to test that important area again, 1575. And look what happens. Look at these wicks sticking up above 75. We don't even get a close above it. We come back down, and this time I sent out another tweet. I said, you know what? I'm going to build a little cushion in here. Let's get short below 72. The first drop took us down to 65.50, from 72 to 65.50. That's about 6-7 points. We pull back to test the important area, 72 again. This time we dropped down to a low of 60. That's 12 points right there. Beautiful trade. Then we rally up. We're now into Tuesday. We pull up above the weekly trading zone at 70.71. We pull back into the zone, find support. We go from zone to zone, 12 points, back to the zone, 12 points, back up to the zone, 12 points, and then we attempt to come back to the zone again. This is typical zone-to-zone behavior because price is always going to move from one rung on the ladder to the next rung on the ladder. That's just the nature of the market and what it does. Once it gets here, it's going to find resistance. Once it gets here, it's going to find support, resistance. Here, price could not quite get all the way back to 70.71. So that gives us a little clue that there's a bullish tempo to the market. It turns. Here's midnight, Chicago time. We cross that. We start to move up. We get up to this weekly zone at 13.14. We spend about an hour here consolidating. We close up above, and I've already sent a tweet out, okay? Before we ever hit the zone, I sent a tweet out that said, consider being long above 1589. Price breaks up above 89. The initial move goes to 91.75. That's 2 3/4 points. It then pulls back to test the important area at 89. Over and over again, guys, if you just learn that one little sachet there, David uses that word sachet, maybe that little sachet right there, that little two-step move, right up to the zone, 8 points. Back to test, 1589, 8 points, 8 points up, 8 points back down, and then 8 points back up to the zone. Then we get caught in a little bit of a sideways range for about 16 hours. Price is oscillating above and below the weekly trading zone. And look at how it does this. You'll hear the term, the market was coiling, okay? Getting wound up, you know, like a spring, tighter and tighter and tighter. See how that's coming together there? Now, we break out to the upside. We have a tweet in place to take advantage of the move. It says consider being long above 1605. All right, the initial move up off of 1605. I had 11 points on the chart yesterday. It's kind of like one of those digital boogers hanging out of your nose. Yeah, I said the B word right here on family radio. I had a digital booger. I had put 11 points on the chart. Finally, Steve was kind enough in the after show to say, hey, dude, your math's off. And so I corrected that. Thank you very much, Steve. We had a 9-point move. Price then comes back to test. Beautifully, look at that, 1605, that same thing. Up, and then a little two-step move back. This time we get a 7-point swing. We then come back to test the 1605 area again, and we get a 9-point move. Now, this gets a little bit interesting. I want to show you two things, and as soon as I'm done, I don't have any headlines to go over today. I got a couple things we'll talk to David about when he comes on. David from PageTrader.com. He'll be on in a bit. First, Michael is going to do a recap of everything that happened in the live trading room this morning, which will also be a recap of the month because we're finishing out the week, the month, the quarter. And let me just say we had a great day in the live trading room. We had a great month in the live trading room. We had a great quarter. So, Michael will share that with you. Now, last night, we had our partners meeting. We do that every Thursday night. We spend a couple, 3 hours behind closed doors with the CFRN partners, just kind of digging deep, making sure that everyone's up to speed on the indicators, the trade setups, all of that. And sometimes we go a little deeper than what you might just see in the live trading room every day, okay? Now, we had some technical difficulties last night with the GoToWebinar software. And you know what? It's easy to get frustrated and aggravated with them, but we've been using this platform every day for, I guess, what is it, 3 years now, Michael?
Yeah, I think at least.
You know, like 3 years, and they're just, it's so reliable compared to that other method. I won't call any names, but that other method out there that, you know, is still getting used, but this technology is good. So anyway, it didn't work last night, and we had to relaunch the meeting a couple, three times. We finally got it going. And to all of you partners who somehow got lost in all those emails I sent out with the new links, I apologize. As Michael is doing the recap today, I'm going to get the video uploaded to the partners area. So if you missed the workshop last night, by the top of the hour, it will be in the partners area, and you'll be able to go and watch that in its entirety. And we went long. I mean, we started a half hour late, so we were there till what time?
Midnight? Quarter 12 or so, I think, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was a late one.
All right. So on this swing up, we get back up to this little area here. Now, that's important. I'm going to show you one. I sent out a tweet last night. I put things on the Facebook page first, and then that automatically tweets it out. Sometimes I put it on Seeking Alpha first, and then that tweets it out for me. So I kind of go back and forth. So really a good idea is if you just follow us in both places, that you don't ever miss anything. Okay? And the tweets, you can have those sent straight to your smartphone. You can do it via a text message, or you can download one of the little Twitter apps to your smartphone, either on the Apple or on the Android system. Enable the push notifications, and it will let you know when there's a tweet out there. You can go take a look at it. So last night I said, here we go, guys. The market has made 9 points available on the first swing, 7 on the second swing, and 5 points so far on the third. Now, we just discussed that actually what ended up happening is we now know that it went a full 9 points, okay, up to the top of this little pink box. Is that pink? Would you call that pink?
Yeah, I think it's pink.
Or is it more like a dusty rose? No, I'm serious. That was the color of my tux at my when I went to the prom. It was called Dusty Rose.
You wore a tux like that on purpose?
Well, it was the 70s, man. Come on.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I got to cut you some slack.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nobody knew it was Dusty Rose back then anyway.
Okay, so I said the target remains overhead at the weekly trading zone, 1617, 1618. We still need to clear the obstacle created by this morning's initial 9-point move off the tweet. Failure to break the top of the shaded area, that's this little box, failure to break the top of the shaded area would send us back to test the 1605 area again. So this is what it looked like when I snapped the picture last night, and I said if we don't break the top of this box, we go back to test 1605. Am I divining the future? No. I'm just stating the obvious. And you might go, well, not obvious to me. Then stick around, because we want it to be obvious to you. That's what becoming a partner is all about. If you want this kind of stuff to be obvious to you, that's why you become a partner, so you learn how to trade. We're not the only way to learn how to trade, but we are a way, not a book, not a DVD, but live in the market training. All right, here's what happened. That's what it looked like. Then here's what happened. It went up, tested the top of the box right there. You know, 9-point swing. Couldn't do it. It could not go the final few points. So just like over here, we got a tip. When price couldn't get all the way back down to the zone on this move, bullish tempo to the market, and look how far it ran. Up here, we've got this double top just below the zone. That's conveying some really important information to us, that there's now a bearish tempo to the market. Okay? Bigger picture, the bears have the ball. Okay? Now, last night when price came back to test 1605, the question was, all right, it's tested it, but how do I get into the trade? How do I take advantage of this move? Well, we drew it out in real time as it was coming together so that everybody could see it. And now you have the benefit of seeing it today. It's right here. I left it on my chart. There we go. Okay. Let's see. I got to stretch it up a little bit. Oh, I got it. There we go. Okay. So here's what happened. Price came back down last night to test 1605, but as it was coming down, I said, now, guys, because they had such a good time with this thing the first time we broke 05, they may step in early and try to run it back up. They did step in early. They stepped in at 1605 and a quarter. Okay, but we're not ready to get in yet. We wait for our bullish cross. We wait for price to pull away. We wait for price to pull back. We wait for a close above the trend line. And that puts us into the trade. What did we figure was the entry on that? I thought it was 1609.50.
Yeah, it was 9.5. Wait a second. Let me just look. I think it was 9.5. Let me look at your chart. Hang on. Yeah, I think it was 9.5 to 11.5. No, it was up higher. Hang on. Just give me a second. Let me look at my ES chart. I had high.
Oh, you know what? I've got it right here as I snapped the picture last night.
Yeah, I had highlighted it all. Here it was. It was at, 9.5. 9.5 to 11 is what we're looking at. Yep.
Yeah, right here. Entry, 1609.5. The drawdown was 6 ticks. And it ultimately went 5 points or 20 ticks. Okay? So, I'm on the wrong trade. That's why I wasn't looking right.
Yeah, you were a little bit.
I was on the previous one that I highlighted. Yeah. Okay, this is the one from last night. Same thing, though. See, that's the beauty of it, guys. It's the same thing over and over and over, just like it played out on that one. Here we go. Price, bullish cross. Price pulls away. Price pulls back. Blah, blah. Here's the entry, 1609.5, goes 20 ticks. Okay, so that is that. Now, when we left the workshop last night, we were right here. Price had drawn down on us. We didn't have all of this. When we closed out the workshop, at the end, those of you who go and watch the video today, you'll see this is where we ended up the workshop with the trade still in play. Made a move, pulled back, tested this area, and then finished the run. So, well, how would I know to get out up here? Well, you necessarily don't. If your goal is to take 2 points out of the move, then you just get your 2 points and you're done. If beyond 2 points you're looking to do more than that, then you're trailing your stop. We talked about last night how, you know, the average swing in the S&P is 3 to 5 points. So once a move goes 5 points, you start looking for a reason to get out of that trade. Okay? And if that's simply trailing very closely with a tight stop, then so be it, because if you don't, you'll end up giving back a large portion of whatever profits you have not realized yet, because that's what the market does. It advances, then there's a pullback, continues the advance, pullback, continues the advance until there's a deeper retracement, which either is a deeper retracement or sometimes becomes a reversal. That works in both, you know, up markets and down markets. The same scenario plays out in either direction. So price comes back down, and there was a question last night, okay, well, if this doesn't work out and we come back to test 05 and we get below 05, how will I be able to participate in the downside? How do I know when to get in? And I said, well, price will get below 1605. Price will pull back to test 1605. And if 1605 now serves as resistance the same way it served as support, then you'll trade it like that. Okay? That same pattern over and over. Up market, down market, Same thing over and over and over. Now, just real quick, and then I got to turn this over to Michael because we're getting way off on time. Here, what time did this happen? This happened at 0800 this morning. Okay, under this candle, let's see, 0700, 1605. Let's go look at that real quick. Oh, 700, 1605. There we go, 1605. So price is coming down, right? Put it back in perspective. Price is coming down. It gets below 05, and then we can see here that it, you know, pulled back a little bit. So the four tick range, 1605, we get below 05, we pull back, okay? Now, what we have to do is come over here to the four tick range and see if we get a short trade opportunity. Right here, we don't have, across here, we don't have any bearish divergence, okay? Price is falling, it's gotten below 1605, it does pull back to the BBC. All the pieces of the pie are in place here, except for the bearish divergence. Okay. Now, I'll let Michael talk a little about this as he gets into it. But this is what you do. You look at that bigger picture setup. You then come to your smaller time frame. You look for your entry that allows you to participate in the trade. Will there be times when you have a bigger picture setup, but the four tick range, the smaller time frame, doesn't give you the perfect trigger where all the criteria is met, where every box gets ticked? Yes, right here I think is a pretty good example of that. We had a great idea of what was going to happen with the trade, that it would go down if we broke below to test the weekly trading zone below us at 97.98. It did. And then look what happened. They ran it right back up to 1605, and now they're running it back down to the zone at 97.98. So is it possible that on a beautiful move like this, you might miss a trade occasionally? Yeah, you might. You will. You will miss trades, but fear not, for another trade will come along. Is that how it goes, Michael?
Yeah, fear not. There will always be another trade.
Fear not. If you miss the trade, fear not, for there will always be another trade. All right. So, and then Michael might even show you a trade in there. I don't know. But I'm going to turn it over to him because I've overstayed my welcome. Michael is now going to take the camera, the microphone, the crew, everything.
All right.
And he's going to do the recap. And then when he's done, we're going to go visit with David Williams at PageTrader.com. Robin won't be here this morning, but she will be here today at 3 p.m. Eastern for today's edition of the Coach's Corner. Today is Open Mic Friday. What does that mean? It means we don't have a topic. We're just going to shoot the breeze. And you can come shoot the breeze with us and ask any question you want about anything. Anything. All right. It's all yours.
Okay.
I'm gonna hit mute, which will prevent me from I'll have to do more than just open my mouth to interrupt you. I'll have to like push a bunch of buttons.
To push a button. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds good. I will grab the charts and bring them over. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. All right, what are we looking at here? You guys should be looking at the ES thing that Dwayne was just talking about. Let me just check that and make sure. Yes, you are. All right, this was the thing last night. I had all kinds of problems last night, so I wasn't even working on this computer last night for the partners meeting. But this was the spot right here last night, and we said there were two obstacles. One was this right here, and the other was this right here. I said expect it to get up to this level by the time the green line got up into the cycle, expect it to get up to that level, or gets through the cycle, or whatever the case might have been. And it got up there. Okay, it got up to that level. Now you anticipate that it's going to go through that level, okay? it pulled back. So what I would have been saying, if we were still in this thing at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning last night, what I would have been saying when it didn't go through right there after it hit it, I would have actually been saying it over here. When it didn't go in and put in a higher swing right in here, I would have been saying it needs to put in a higher swing or this is topping action. And that's just the way that it works out. All right. Let's see. It's 12. It's 12:30. Bernard, I'll just give you a call later, okay? I'll call later. Let me just type that in. So I'm not sure if he's listening. All right. Let's see the spreadsheet. Let me bring that over here. Okay. Let's see. Wrong spreadsheet. Where's the right spreadsheet? Hang on a second, guys. Here it is. Here we go. All right. Let me start the recording up. Everybody ready? Here we go. All right. Let's see. Welcome, everyone. Today is the 28th day of June, 2013. 28th day of June, 2013. It is Friday. It is the end of the half. It is the end of the quarter. It is the end of the month of June in the live trading room. This is our total for the month. We did not make the total last month. We did not get over that total last month, but that's okay. That was a good total last month. And we still got a good chunk this month too, I think. You know, we made $5,220 total in the live trading room this month. And the live trading room means in the first 2 hours, and it's trading one contract at a time. All right, trading only one contract for every market that we traded. It was only one contract. This morning it took us 6 minutes and two trades to make our 2 points. We had a total of 19 trades this morning. I traded a lot of gold today. We're up 50 ticks on gold. We were down 3 on the Russell, down 4 on crude oil, up 50 on gold, and up 4 on copper. I actually traded gold a little bit more, a little bit more while Dwayne was talking, and we're up 60 on gold now, but we're only counting 50 from the live trading room. Let's see, we have, here's what we have. We're going to start with crude oil. Okay, we didn't have many trades on crude. Crude, the Russell, and copper. I'll start with those. Okay. This is the ES. There were some things on the ES, but I'll get to all that. Okay. Okay. Let's see. We have... I said I was going to start with crude, right? I'm sorry, I keep getting messages. Here we go on the crude. Just a couple of trades, a few trades, I guess. I missed a bunch of them here this morning. You know, when the 50 ticks that I made on gold today, or the actual 60 now, that was easily available. The same amount was easily available here on crude oil. I mean, it was available in the first half an hour on crude. Right here was 10, 20, 30, 40, I mean... And I'm sure I missed something in there. 30, 40, yeah, right here, 50. even right in here, another 10, you know, 60. Right here in the first half an hour on crude oil. If you're focused on a market and you're able to trade that market, then the opportunities are there for you. Okay, the opportunities are there. Not every trade is going to be a winning trade. You may even have a string of losing trades, but the opportunities are there to get out of the hole and to get back on the right side. Today we started right out with gold. We placed 2 trades on gold. We got the plus 10. Then what did? We gave some back, I think, on crude oil. We gave it back, and then we just traded a whole bunch of times on gold. Actually, we had 11 trades on gold today. I'll get to that in a few minutes. Anyway, the very first trade here was, the very, very first one was right here. I didn't highlight. I apparently missed it. The next one was here on the close above the trend line that I did highlight, and there was an opportunity to get long right there and take some profit. We were looking for an up close above this level right here, but by the time it closed up, we'd lost our divergence. You know, when you lose your divergence, you expect the pullback. We did get the pullback. There are some things that I showed last night in the partners meeting. People wanted to know how to trade with this brown line. All you guys who are partners, that should be that meeting. If you did not make it last night because we had all those technical issues, that meeting should be out on the website for you guys to watch fairly shortly, and I think you'll like what you see with the brown line. Nevertheless, there was an opportunity to short right in here, another one right in here, another one right in there. I missed all those. That one, that one, that one, that one, and that one. I missed them all. And I'm quite certain there were more opportunities to trade in here, and I missed them all. I don't know. I must have been trading gold and not paying attention to crude oil or something. I took this short trade finally over here, and it stopped me out. Then I missed a long, I missed another long, and had to reset. I took a trade right in here. I've got 4 ticks profit on that. That brought me to minus 4 ticks. This was minus 8. This brought me to minus 4. And I missed that. I took a break even on this one. And that was pretty much the end of my crude oil trading this morning. All right. There was a ton of opportunity on crude. A ton of opportunity on crude, especially early on. All right, there was a lot of opportunity early on the crude. I didn't look at any of the sixes this morning. None of them. Okay. None of them. A ton of opportunity. That is 2,000 pounds of opportunity. That's a lot. You put it all in a big bucket. It has to be a very big bucket. All right, the Russell. Sorry, I'm still punchy from last night. The Russell, let's see, on the Russell today, what did we end up? We were plus 5, and then we ended up minus 3, so there's going to be a trade over here somewhere. Our first trade, we were break-even. Were we break-even? Our first trade, we were break-even, then we must have had a winning trade in here somewhere. I don't know where. I think I took a short down into the zone, right? I didn't realize the zone was there, and I had taken a short down to the zone. Something in here I had done. That's right. I think it was right in here, and I drew an ellipse instead of an arrow. And I took a short in here, and I ended up taking 5 ticks profit. I didn't realize it was going into the zone. And then I took a long trade right here. Of course, I didn't realize it was in the zone at that time either, and I lost the long trade. That put me at minus 3. Okay. That is where I ended on the Russell. There were some more opportunities in here. I did not take advantage of them. I didn't trade the Russell much at all today. Just a couple of trades. Just wanted to show you there were opportunities here. Opportunities here. This was going into a zone, so nothing. Back on the long side here. So there were definitely some opportunities, okay? Over here, we tested the BBC and got the down close. We needed to close below the trend line. So right in here, this had enough room to go down to the zone, okay? That happened during the break. So that was it on the Russell. We ended the Russell minus 4 ticks. Let's jump over to the copper. Okay. The copper. This was the one trade we took on copper. We took 4 ticks profit on this trade. Okay? 4 ticks profit. There were a couple other copper trades in here. One here, one here, one here, and one here that we did not act on. We only took this one. Okay? You can see I drew this actually with a picture last night with a Microsoft Paint. I actually drew this stuff. And I think people actually liked it. So those of you guys who are partners, again, that link should be out on the website pretty soon. And if you weren't there in the meeting last night, you can watch it again. Even if you were in there in the meeting last night, you can watch it again. I saved that picture on that other computer so I can actually distribute that if you guys want to look at it. That said, this is all we had on copper, okay? Just a single trade on copper for plus 4 ticks. Now, soybeans. Soybeans was my big miss today, meaning I really missed a big trade. I missed a lot of big trades, apparently. But the big one this morning was right here, this big trade right here. I missed that on the soybeans. Okay, there were two entry possibilities. One was up here, and the other one was right over here. Two entry possibilities. Oh well, you know, it happens. After, there was a grain report that came out today. That's why there's all this movement in here. Between 12 and 1202, all these bars, 12 and 1203, a grain report came out. So, like right in here, there's a long trade, in here there's a long trade, in here there's a long trade. Now, those you could have entered into. But any of the trades between, say, right here at 1203 and back here at 1201 or 12 o'clock, all this right here you couldn't have done anything with. It was moving way too fast, I'm sure. But these trades in here, you know, you could have gotten into these. Okay. And when it flipped around and went the other way, you could have gotten into these. Okay. Can still do it. Where it is right now, it's got bearish divergence. It actually pulled back up, hit the BBC, and had a down close right here. You wouldn't need a down close below the trend line, so you would have had a short right over here. Okay? Right there. That's it. So the soybeans had some good opportunity after the morning session. They had a big grain report today, so they had that one or those two spots in the morning that I missed both of, and then it had nothing until the grain report came out. I didn't look at natural gas. I marked up a couple of spots here on the NQ today during the live trading room. I'll show you those. One was here, one was here. I don't know if I did any more. I don't know, but you know, I was saying this to one of the fellows yesterday who was on the trial. If I traded the NQ, I'd constantly be trading the NQ because there are so many opportunities on the NQ. You know, you can go through and just see opportunity after opportunity after opportunity on the NQ because it bounces around a lot. Now, you know, we like volatility. We live on the volatility of the markets. So if that's what you want to do, then, you know, that's certainly what you can do. I prefer to trade the things myself. I prefer to trade the things that are more than $5 a tick. But it, you know, it all depends on what you like to do. And you know, if you want to start with the NQ, if you're just starting out and you want to start with the NQ because you're only risking $40 a trade, that's, you know, that's certainly something else that you should consider. Okay? But there's just a ton of opportunity here on the NQ. All these spots that I'm circling were valid trades. Okay? Every last one of them, valid trades. let's see. All right, and then it got into the break here, so I'm not going to circle anymore. Currently, the last one would have been right there. Actually, now that trend line's going up, so the last one you wouldn't have done anything with. But that was the NQ this morning, all right? So I covered the NQ, the soybeans, the copper, the Russell, the crude oil. I'm going to save gold for last because I had a whole bunch of trades on gold, okay? Just wanted to show the ES. On the ES, we highlighted this area right here, this one right here, and this one right here, all right? This one went about a point. We knew that this was going into an area where it should be rejected. Was that the one? No, this is the one that was going into an area that it should be rejected. And we said as much in the live trading room. It changed directions. There was another opportunity here. This was after the live trading room. An opportunity there and another opportunity in here. Okay. Let's see. That was about it. That was about it. Okay. All right, now let's jump into the gold, okay? We'll jump into the gold over here. Here is the gold. See, we took a lot of trades in gold this morning. All right, so the gold started out right over here. Our first trade of the day in gold was a break-even trade on this one. Our next trade was plus 10. We took it right there. We missed this short trade right over here. That went about 6 or 8 ticks. It's changed directions and it started moving up. There was a long trade right in here that we missed. You know, that went pretty well. It was probably moving really fast in here. You know, this is 942 to 943. There were news events coming out in here. That's why we didn't trade these. But it changed directions, gave some good opportunity on the downside over here, and flattened out a little. I drew this in, said it needs to break down below that level to continue going down, and it did. There was another opportunity in there. Then it changed directions again. We had more news right here, okay? Now, the way that the news events come out on days like today, particularly the news events that we had today, let me just tell you what they were. Okay, today we had the consumer sentiment, inflation expectations, and the Chicago PMI. All those news events are news events that are, you can go buy those. And if you buy them, you get them a few minutes ahead of time. So that is why you see the market reacting over here a few minutes ahead of the time. Okay? Because the actual news event happened right here. And the market was reacting first here. And then it reacted when the news actually came out. And then there was another news event at 9:55 that the market started to react to a little early. And then that came out at 9:55. And this is what happened after that. Now, we took another 10 ticks here. We break even here. I think it was 10 ticks more there. And a break even there. Let me see. Oh, it was 8 ticks there. Sorry, that was 8 ticks. And a break even there. And then what do we do here? Another break even. We took a loss on that one. We missed a bunch of trades in here. We missed a trade there and there and there. And I'm sure there's probably more of them that we missed. We got the 8 ticks back on this, right? The one that we lost. We missed a trade right there, a follow-up trade, another follow-up trade right in here we had missed. I'm sorry, right in here we had missed the second follow-up trade. Even a third follow-up trade right there. We had missed all that stuff. And it was 10:30. What the heck was happening at 10:30? I don't know. But we missed a whole bunch of stuff in here at 10:30. Gold was really starting to jump around, and we missed all that. Okay, you see right here between 10:28 and 10:29. How much space there was. We waited until it slowed down a little bit. I had even stopped highlighting things because it was moving around so fast. So I had stopped highlighting things. Once it got in here, it slowed down a little bit, and we got another long trade in here, took some profit on that. We missed that one and that one. Changed directions. And what time is it here? 10:44. We missed that short. Then there was another one right here. While Dwayne was, I think Dwayne had the charts here, and I texted everyone that I was taking this. We had a short right there and a break even right there. Was that it on the gold? Nope, we had one more break even over here. We missed a few more trades. This one, this one, this one. We missed those. We had a loss here. We had another win over here. Man, there was a ton of them. And it was still going. You know, even at the end of the morning session, it was still going. I took a trade in here somewhere while Dwayne was talking. I think right in here. I took a short trade right in here, and that's where I got the final 10 ticks. The final 10 ticks to put me at plus 60 ticks on the morning. So it took me 11 trades to get to plus 60 ticks. That was on gold. You know, I ended up. Again, we ended up plus 50 on gold. It took me 12 trades, sorry, to get to plus 60 ticks. At the end of the live trading room, we had 11 trades and 50 ticks in gold. And we were down 3 ticks in the Russell, we were down 4 ticks in the crude, and we were up 4 ticks in copper for a total of $480 a contract in the live trading room this morning. And that was, you know, yesterday we had $535 a contract in the live trading room, I think. And the first 2 days this week, We had a technical issue on one of the days. This is twice this week we had technical issues with the GoToWebinar stuff. That's odd. Actually, no, one of them wasn't GoToWebinar. One of them was OEC. But anyway, we are ending the month right now with $5,220 per contract gross in the live trading room. All right, the net. After an $8 per turn commission, which is higher than you guys should be paying, right? Nobody should be paying $8 a turn, is $3,260 after trading 245 times during the month. 245 trades, $3,260 per contract net. Okay? So if you have, you know, you guys can do the math. If you have two contracts, you know, it's $6,400, well, $6,520. Three contracts, 10 contracts, you guys can do the math, right? That was this month. Last month was almost $1,000 more net. The month before that was $400 more net. The month before that was what did I say? 3260. The month before that was about $700 more in it. The month before that was a little less, about $200 less. And the month before that, I didn't do that part of it. This was January. I didn't really start keeping track of all these things until February. Well, the end of January. But that's where it stands, okay? So if you guys have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. If you have taken a free trial with us and you want to become a partner, send us an email at support@cfrn.net or give me a call at 949-423-6464. Again, that's 949-423-6464. It's a lot of trades.
949-42-E-MINI.
That's right. That's right. All right, guys. That's it. I am going to wrap up the recording right here. Recording is wrapped. So we can head out to Vegas, because I know you're there.
I'm here. Okay. Where is this market at right now? Still, it's sitting right at, crazy, 1605. Just hanging out. Just perched right there, 1605.
Perfectly.
Hey, guys, earlier in the week, or last week, whenever it was, I had sent out an email to some of you that asked you to give us a quarterly review, okay? Some of you were brutal, and some of you were oh so kind. Now, the only one I've shared live on the radio so far was one that, you know, it wasn't brutal, but it was honest. It was a person's opinion. I said, hey, I think, you know, you should be aware, and it's wise. And so we took that to heart, and we clarified that issue. And, you know, it would have been easy to just play all the good ones. And, in fact, I wish I had a good one right now keyed up, but I don't. So maybe I will. Maybe I'll find one and play it. Gosh, that would be a great thing to do. I think we deserve to have at least one, right? Because we already talked about the one that, you know, didn't go oh so well, right?
Right.
I don't know. Would that be wrong of me? Would that be self-serving?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Come on, Michael. Spit it out.
No. I think you're doing the right thing. You always do the right thing, Dwayne.
Well, I don't know. That's a stretch. But thank you. Let me see what I can find here. Now, the reason I even brought this up, guys, actually playing it was a secondary thought. It's the end of the quarter. And so we really would like a review of what you think about the services that we provide. If you're a partner, you can review us from that perspective. If you're just a member of the CFRN audience, you can review us from that perspective. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, you know, what we might be able to. Now, I'm a big proponent of if you have an issue with something, right, if you have a problem with something, try to offer a solution. Rather just saying this is bad or I don't like whatever, if you could, you know, say, here's how I think you might do it better. Or this is what's the word I'm looking for there, Michael?
Efficiency?
No. Participate in, you know, in other words, don't just say this is bad. Just give us an idea of how you think we can make it better.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was reading an email. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I busted you. See?
Yeah, sorry.
I busted you. All
totally
right.
Busted me. I was just about to respond to this email that Leslie just sent.
Yeah, David does that to me all the time. But anyway. And I would do it to him as well. So I always know when he needs to take a break because he asks me a question. Because he knows if he asks me a question, I'll chat for like 5 minutes, and then he can like go to the bathroom, you know, get some more chai tea, whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
Goju berry juice that he drank. I don't know. Anyway.
You know, that goes both ways with David.
Oh, I know. I don't know if this is going to play or not. Okay, so guys, now when we asked for the review, we got a ton of responses, you know, mostly good. I'm just being honest with you. They were skewed to the good side. but some did offer some ideas and suggestions how we can improve our service, and we appreciate those. And I already played one of those earlier in the week. That was the only one I've played. Okay, but I want you, if you haven't done that yet, end of the quarter, send us your thoughts, and we would like to have it in the form of a voicemail, if you'd be so kind. Here's the number, 415-857-5654. I'm going to type it into the chat box, 415-857-5654, CFRN Quarterly Review. You don't have to do it right this minute. But sometime, you know, today, over the weekend, you get a few minutes. You know, I try to keep it to a couple minutes because the thing will cut you off. One person, they ended up having to leave three messages because he kept cutting them off. It was a pretty lengthy review, very detailed, and that's okay. He would just call back, and the machine would cut him off after a certain amount of time. He'd call back, and he finally got it finished. And so you can do that if you want to. Just know that after a couple minutes, it will time out on you. All right, I'm going to see if this will play. I'm not sure if it will or not, but let's give it a try.
Hi, Dwayne and Michael, and also Bert and Leslie. It's Paul Trapp.
Hmm.
I just wanted to leave a message for you guys.
I mean, it really should have. You don't hear anything at all.
I want you to know that I am blown away by the service that you are offering. I've been with you now between 2 and 3 months. I have learned
really quick
the indicators, your own home coding indicators that work fantastically with the futures contract markets. And I am trading those. I've just gone live. Feel very confident and feel great about what you guys are doing.
Oh.
So I want you to know everything you're doing.
Could hear at that time.
Yeah, I know. I just need to get it back to the beginning because it was in the middle of playing. This is raw radio, folks. This is live in real time. We don't mess around. See? Okay, now I can do it. All right, here we go.
Hi. Dwayne and Michael, and also Bert and Leslie, it's Paul Trapp. I just wanted to leave a message for you guys. I want you to know that I am blown away by the service that you are offering. I've been with you now between 2 and 3 months. I have learned the indicators, your own home coding indicators that work fantastically with the futures contract markets. And I am trading those. I've just gone live. Feel very confident and feel great about what you guys are doing. So I want you to know everything you're doing is oriented towards excellence in teaching newbies like myself, but also people that have that have done trading for any amount of time can learn from you guys. I've never seen any other organization allow an over-the-shoulder view of what you're doing the way you guys do on the live trading calls every morning. So I'm taking full advantage of that, and just love it and appreciate it. And if there's any opportunity that I can recommend you to anybody who's on the fence and wondering if they should join your team as a partner or not, have them call me. I'd be very, very happy to talk with them about my experience. I did some training with Online Trading Academy down in Stamford, Connecticut, and you guys have them beat on every front, hands down, and they're good. I had no complaints about the training that I received with them. that it was very, it was excellent. But what, like I said, you guys have blown me away with the quality and the consistent support that you provide. It's fantastic. Thank you very much. Bye for now.
All right, guys, and that's it. So we heard two reviews this week. Thank you so much for your kind words, Paul. We really do appreciate it. So of all the reviews we got back, beginning of the week, we played one that was critical to a degree, just trying to help us, make sure we always do the right thing, which we endeavor to do. And so then ending the week, we play a nice one where somebody, is really pleased with what they've learned. And even though they took some training in another place, at the end of the day, they still needed a little more information so that they could actually put all of that knowledge together and execute trades. So that's what we hope to do. That's what we want to do. We can teach you how to play baseball, but we can't make you a baseball player. But we'll try. Yeah. But we'll try. Did you say right?
I did. I agreed with you. We can't make you a baseball player. We can tell you the rules. We can give you a ball. We can give you a bat and tell you the rules. If you don't follow the rules, if you do your own thing, well, the results may be better. They may be worse.
And that's a good point, Michael. I'm glad you brought that up because we kind of talked about that with someone last night in the partners meeting. When people come to us brand new, never have traded before, they're starting with a clean slate. They don't have any emotional baggage. They don't have mental baggage. They don't have any indicators that they brought over from someplace else. And I'm not knocking anybody else's indicators at all. But when you start to mix some other methodology with our methodology, I'm not saying that can't work. It might work beautifully for you. But if we don't know that other methodology, if we don't understand that methodology, then we can't guide you on how to blend them. And really, we don't even want to go there. Because that's beyond the scope of what we agree to teach. We agree to teach you what we know about trading in mini futures, and we agree to teach you how to use our indicators to trade the futures market, E-minis, gold, crude, all of that. If you want to additionally layer on things that you already know, indicators you might already have, certainly you can do that, and I'm never going to tell you not to do that, but there's a point where we aren't able to support, provide customer support or even advice or teaching or coaching on someone else's indicators. Can't do that. Now, David, who comes on the show every day and has for like 7 years, I understand so much of what David does, and a lot of times, I could finish his sentences, he could finish mine, and so now, there are elements of what he does that I don't do those things. That's not my wheelhouse or my skill set. That's part of the reason that he's on the show. He provides a dimension to the program that I personally, am not able to provide you with, and I don't have a problem admitting that. But I have seen enough evidence of his work over the years that I keep inviting him back every single day. Okay? We don't always see eye to eye. You guys have heard us butt heads like two old billy goats on many occasions. And I think that's good. That shows you that this is real. This is not some mutual admiration club, where we come here every day to just stroke each other's ego. No. This is important stuff, guys. This is about learning how to trade for a living. Okay? I don't know of any – well, I do know of things more important. But when it comes to business, how you earn a living, that is very important. It's how you're going to pay your mortgage. It's how you're going to send your kids to college. It's how you're going to plan for your retirement. So we joke around when David comes on. We may argue some days, and we crack a lot of jokes, and some of them aren't that funny. I admit we could probably use somebody to write a little material for us. But, when it comes to putting on and taking off trades, being profitable and earning a living, by all means, we take that incredibly seriously. And I appreciate David's patience today as we've gone long bringing him on. And to you, to those of you who come specifically to listen to David, I apologize to you. Let me pause real quick for station identification, and we'll come back with the man, David Williams, from PageTrader.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
All right. Good morning, Dwayne.
Hey, David. Good morning, sir. And I do apologize that we ran so long there. I looked at the clock and almost fell out of my chair.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
Ain't nothing but a thing. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing well. And I don't know if is Robin with us today or no.
No, but she'll be here later today for the Coach's Corner.
Oh, okay.
She's not here this morning.
Okay. Well, interesting. I could say it's a beautiful day in Las Vegas. It is.
It is. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. It's going to be a very hot day here in Las Vegas. What do you think your temperatures are going to be in Arizona today, Dwayne?
You know, David, I think 115.
Okay. Well, we're going to be at 113 today. And then 115 tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. So this is really going to test everybody's air conditioning or whatever else. It's going to test everything you own is going to be tested. Your house paint is going to be tested. Your air conditioner is going to be tested. Your car, your tires, everything's going to be tested because that kind of heat will just melt things. Like we talked about yesterday, you know, with the lady driving her car to Death Valley and having the rear window of her soft top cabriolet Porsche melt and just be gone. I mean, just melt away. So, did I hear something there? Did I hear somebody's?
I don't know what that was.
I thought maybe that was Robin Dean.
No, that was not Robin Dean. I don't think it was Robin.
Was that you?
I made a funny noise. I didn't even realize my mic was on.
Oh, Ed, Ed just typed in 120 expected in Phoenix today. Are you being serious, Ed, or are you just joking? I mean, I know it's supposed to be like 115, but I didn't know it was going to be 120. Are you just fooling around?
This is it. These are the temperatures. Now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, is this what, this is just a hot summer, and we've seen this before a million times. Would somebody tell me, does global warming, the thing that everyone's all up in arms about, is it real or is it not? I just want a straight answer from somebody. I don't know. Somebody might want to type that in and just say yes or no or give a very short, because a lot of people would say that, things are getting hotter, we're experiencing more, heat. It is the summertime, by the way. Things do get hot in the summertime.
Whoa. I'd be curious. He's not kidding, David.
I see it right there.
Oh, my goodness. It's only 99 right now. So that means, right now in Phoenix, it's 10:15 a.m.
Yeah.
So the hottest part of the day, I guess, is like 3, 4 in the afternoon, maybe 5 here. So over the next 5 to 7 hours, the temperature is going to go up 20 degrees.
When I used to come out to
Paul
Arizona.
Paul says global warming is real in answer
global
to your
warming
question.
Is real. Okay. A part of me says, listen, you've got millions and millions of cars, putting out whatever emissions they're putting out. You've got factories, you've got these other things. That has to have some effect. It doesn't have no effect. It has to have some effect. It's really there. But I don't know how much effect it has, and I don't know if it really is doing all the things that everyone is saying. This is not my specialty. I'm not making this into a political – I don't want to make it into a political thing. I'm just wondering how real it is, and a part of me knows that there's no question that there's going to be some effect from all of the emissions just from cars alone, let alone whatever else is emitting. So
it's interesting. But some people might say that we're seeing these hot temperatures, you know, in part because of global warming. But it is the summertime, and we see these over and over. You've had 120 before, or have you not? Is this the first time you've ever seen that, Dwayne?
No. I'll tell you an interesting story. I was in Portland, Oregon. My boss had sent me up there to open an office and blah, blah. And then he decided things weren't working out for reasons I discussed about the energy level of the salespeople I was hiring. Anyway, he decided to fly me back. And I left Portland that morning. It was about 65 degrees when I got on the plane. When I stepped off the plane, and I had been there now for like 2 years, so my body had become very much adjusted to Portland's mm-hmm. weather. Mm-hmm. I stepped off the plane. It was 118 degrees. Mm-hmm. My body instantly went into a state of shock.
Yeah.
Because it's not like when you're living here and, you know, spring comes and it starts getting warmer and warmer. Every day a little bit warmer, warmer. Your body kind of builds up and adjusts to that. But when you've, you know, become climatized to 60, 70 degrees most of the year, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, man, you're just slammed. You open the door of that plane
that
and boom,
just,
118.
Yeah.
I got physically ill.
Yeah,
I had to go to the doctor. He told me to just go home, get in bed, drink tons of water, and wait for it to pass, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I had this little apartment. The boss had rented me because he wanted me to move back to Phoenix, but this was like the transitionary trip to get things set up. And I had this little apartment. I remember just laying there with the AC, the little window unit just pointed directly at me on high, and just, oh God, I was so sick, man. Just, you know,
well, I vaguely have a vague memory similar to that of getting off of an airplane somewhere, and it was sweltering heat, and the tarmac is right there, the heat's coming off the tarmac, and it made me dizzy. The heat hit me so hard. This is when I was much younger. Imagine what it does to elderly people. This is why we were talking the other day, how important it is if you have older friends or relatives to double check their air conditioner, make sure there's, you know, they have water in the house, that whatever it is, do something that if for anybody that you know that's up there, because this heat kills people. That's what it does. Yeah, people die. If something goes wrong, you could be a hero by having, you know, fixed or put them in a position where it doesn't go wrong. So keep that in mind. Anyway, here we are. It's Friday. We've had just an amazing 3 or 4 week period in markets. Some of these markets have made some very unusual moves. The currencies have moved dramatically in a singular direction. Many of them have. Look at the Australian dollar, the George Soros short trade. You know, amazing move. The market has continued lower. We have avoided taking positions in the long side of that market, primarily because we knew that there was a lot of forces at work on the short side. And some of those forces are just names that we know are in the trade, and it sounds almost superstitious, but it ends up that the market really has had, if you take a look at the Aussie, that market has just gone straight down dramatically over the last month. And there's no end in sight just yet. So big, important moves have happened. Probably the most important 3 or 4 weeks I've seen in a year. Really, it's just been an amazing for the wide range of number of markets. The other thing is that, you know, this is summertime. This is when markets, we've talked about this, slow down. This is when the markets get quiet, and yet we're leading into the summer with really important, unusual moves from a wide range of markets, all the way from natural gas to currencies to gold and so on. So, you know, this again is why people, we always talk about protecting your positions properly. We won't hammer it today, but, you know, that if you are wrong and the market continues to move in that direction, you can hurt yourself unnecessarily. There's enough, you know, hurt in life without you having to go chase it down by not using a protective stop in your position. So that's, I promise that's all I'll say about it. And so, Dwayne, any important news for the markets today? Anything that you want to bring up?
Well,
if you haven't already, I know you've had quite a bit.
There's a little bit of news that I thought you would find interesting. Lord Drayson, is that his name? Lord Drayson? He broke the land speed record today in an electric car.
Oh, well, good for him.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. And
you did not know that. Let's find it.
I did not know that.
Lord Drayson. Is that, guys, am I getting that right? Is it Drayson? Yeah, right here. Lord Drayson Racing. Okay. News for Lord Drayson. Electric car sets new world speed record. So, I apologize for all the cracks I made about your little golf cart. All right.
Oh.
Apparently there's a serious business, these electric cars.
They're working out pretty good, and I'm going to bring up some new news myself in a little bit here. I can tell you after you show the Lord Drayson thing. Is that waiting to come up?
Yeah, we're trying. It had to come all the way from across the pond, the BBC, so that's why there was a delay. Drayson Racing electric car sets new world speed record. I think it happened today. There's the car.
Mm-hmm.
It looks a lot like the Chevy Volt.
Mm-hmm.
The Lola B12 69 EV hit a top speed of 204.2 miles per hour at a racetrack at RAF Elvington in Yorkshire. Chief Executive Lord Drayson was behind the wheel.
Wow.
He said the achievement was designed to highlight electronic vehicle technology's potential. The previous 175-mile-per-hour record was set by Battery Box General Electric in 1974.
Wow.
Now, isn't that interesting that nobody has touched that in all
those
years?
Touched that record in that time. Yeah, that is amazing.
Drayson Racing is not the only electric vehicle maker hoping to use motorsports to spur adoption of the technology. Last week, Nissan unveiled the ZRC, Zero Emission On-Demand Racing Car, which can switch between electric and petrol. Firm intends to enter the vehicle into next year's Le Mans 24 race, saying the competition would act as a challenging test bed for technologies that could eventually find their way into road cars.
Well, there you are.
Oh, this guy, you know, he's a car nut right there. It says it just like you.
Uh-huh. I'm an electric car nut.
An electric car. Well, you were kind of a car nut even before the electric business.
I was, but I had gotten over it. I was cured. I actually am. What is it when you go back in, when you fall off the wagon or whatever the term is, you know, when it re-attacks you? Well, I was a car nut for many, many years, especially younger, and I just loved, the exotic and the beautiful and the fast. And this was a big thing with me. It started with the Lotus Esprit way back in the white car in the James Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that car and that whole thing got me going. And then I got into Porsche. And back then, Porsche made the cars look different to my eye back then, and I was just hooked on Porsche. I could eat a Porsche. I just loved Porsches. Other people have things that they just love so much they could eat them too, probably. But I was that into these cars, and I just was, that was my thing. And then in the mid-90s, the car obsession began to fade because there wasn't as much out there that I found as interesting. And I wanted to. Have you know that feeling where you want to be, like you go into a place and you want to be sold, you want somebody to show you something that you want, and you want to feel that? And I wasn't feeling it. And I finally just sort of stood aside, and a whole decade really passed. I was just driving ordinary cars. The most unusual thing that I had done was back in 08, I got my previous car, which was a kind of a high-end luxury kind of a car that had a supercharged V8 and so on. And so that was my, 10 years have gone by, and I really, that was the first big thing I had done in a while. But then the electric cars came out, and I had an inkling that I might like them, but after driving them, I just flipped over them. So I have relapsed, and I'm here today to tell you that relapse actually cost me a little money the other day. Because I'm the proud owner of a Chevrolet Spark electric car.
Are you really? Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Congratulations.
I told you on the program that this is a... Now, I mean, anybody can pick up one of these. It's $199 a month. I mean, even poor people can have an electric car now. But
well, I bet in order to get that $199, you probably got to have pretty strong credit.
I think anybody that has credit over 720... I think can get the 199.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think if you check with your dealer and check that out. But the reasons I wanted it, because I do have a Chevy Volt, but a second car isn't bad, is a couple reasons. Number one, I like the idea of a pure battery vehicle with no backup engine. I wanted to have that, maybe because there's a little possibility of getting stranded. But the thing will do over 100 miles. I've already figured it out just by driving it over the last day or so, that you can get 100 miles out of it if you drive it gently. The other thing is that General Motors decided very smartly to stop marketing these electric cars, and so did Nissan, as sort of a take-your-medicine kind of a proposition. In other words, you know what? You know the air quality is bad. You know we're burning fossil fuels. You should be driving our electric car so that you feel better about helping the economy. That didn't go over so well, even though there's plenty of people who legitimately are concerned about Mother Earth, the economy, the air quality and so on. But that didn't work for people. So Nissan changed their ads to say, hey, this is really a fun car. You can save on gasoline, but it's also a lot of fun. They started pitching fun more. And then General Motors took the extra step of adding to that fun by making this tiny, diminutive car. It's a four-seater, five-door hatchback little car, kind of odd-looking. So I'll get a picture of it at some point. We'll upload it for you. They took the extra task at hand, and to make it fun, they put 400 foot-pounds of torque into the motor. And that's what got my attention.
This is the Chevy Spark EV. Let's look at it.
EV.
EV.
Chevy Spark EV. White. I had to take what they had because the car just came out last Monday. And it didn't come out here in Las Vegas. It can only be bought. That's a blue one there, and that's good. It's a small little thing. And it has practicality. Two people sit very comfortably. You can actually have four people in the car. Has a lot of neat little nifty features. It loads your phone and all the usual stuff. You have to remember, this is essentially a $15,000 car with a $25,000 electric propulsion system. But the whole car is about $27,000, and then they will lease it to you for $199 a month. Want to remind you that if you purchase the car, you will get a $7,500 tax credit at the end of the year. If you live in California and purchase it, you'll also get a $2,500 check from the state of California. So the total price of the car goes down by $10,000 because of those incentives. Anyway, so I've only had it for a day, and I'm just getting used to one here. I want to make sure I don't have an audio problem.
You're breaking up just a little bit.
If you would. Stay with me.
Okay, no problem.
I may be able to solve here.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cute
okay,
how they
tell me if I'm okay.
That's kind of cute how they make the – it kind of looks like a gas pump thing, right? No, it doesn't.
Yeah, and that's where you charge it. It doesn't look cute.
You sound fine. Yeah, it does. It looks very – the whole thing was very nice. And so is this the battery?
No, that actually is a charger. You can plug – that's a trickle charger. You can plug it in anywhere at a 120-volt outlet. It'll trickle charge your car. This car takes three different kinds of charges. It'll take your 110-volt, 15-volt, whatever that is, and that'll trickle charge it. It'll take a 240-volt, and that'll do it in about 6 hours. And then it has a high-speed charger also that you can plug in at stations where they have high-speed chargers, and it'll charge the car to 80% full in 20 minutes. That's a really fast charge. The battery in this car is the latest version of the lithium-ion. It's a lithium-ion phosphate battery, which is much more rugged, can stand heat like out in Arizona, but they still condition it with, you know, they still have, it's conditioned, meaning air, you know, they cool it and heat it to keep it at exactly the temperature it should be at. it's warranted for 8 years. You know, you're leasing a car like this, you're going to only have it for 3 years. But it's extremely efficient. I've already measured it on my trip to the office. It's about 25% more efficient than the Volt, which is a big, big jump from, and part of that, a big part of that is just the weight of the car. The other thing is that it is quick. It does zip, but the way that it zips is different than the Volt, the way that they designed it. It's geared differently. It's got taller gears so that you can drive very comfortably. It's a very relaxed feeling car. So anyway, I picked one up because I'm an electric car enthusiast with mental problems. So now I have one. And if anybody has any questions about it, you know where to go. You can call me because I'll be zipping around in it. And I'll tell you what, you know, how far I can go on a charge. I'll figure it all out without getting myself into stuck somewhere in trouble. But it's a lot of fun.
Now you can only drive one car at a time. So what are you doing with the other one?
Well, the Volt's in my garage, and I've put 22,000 miles on it. And that car I also leased, so that goes back. And that's an inexpensive car as well.
All right, so you're going to pay $199 a month. So without the calculator, I can figure out that's roughly $2,400. How much did you have to – what was the drive-off fee?
$999.
Okay, so $1,000 plus $2,400, so we're at $3,400, correct?
That's correct.
For 1 year. And at the end of the first year, did you say you're going to be able to get a $7,500 tax credit?
If you lease the car, the tax credit is put into your lease as depreciation. In other words, the car, it adds value to the car at the end of the lease, so it makes your payments lower. That's one of the ways that they're giving you the $199, because a $27,000 car is not a $199 payment. So that $7,500 is given passes through into your lease in the form of residual value. It retains its value better, and that makes the part that you're paying for less. It's a little complicated sounding, but it's so inexpensive that just anybody could do this. And if you have the 90-mile range that you want to drive in a day and you think that you can do that, you can say goodbye to gas stations, have fun, beat illegal aliens and Camaros off of the stoplight, all of that for $199 a month. How's that sound?
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy with it. That's why, I mean, I just couldn't turn it down. I mean, I've been thinking about it, and I've talked about it on the program before. You know, you get an awful lot for very, very little. It's very reasonably priced. This is not like you're going out and buying something really expensive. And you get the fun of driving it, and you'll really like it. Go check it out. Anyway, so beyond that, I want to update you, and I will send you a picture of it, and we can put it up a little bit later so you can see it.
How does the – I always want to know how the AC works in Nevada.
Really, really well. It was 113 here yesterday, 111 to 13, and the air conditioning blew ice cold. It really does. It's a beautiful – let me tell you something. The American car companies have had air conditioning down better than the Germans did for many years.
Oh, yeah. The Mercedes, what a wonderful car, but the air conditioner was absolutely horrible because it doesn't get that hot in Germany. So you take a German-made car and you plop it down in the desert of Arizona or Nevada, it doesn't know how to – it was like me stepping off that plane in Phoenix after being in Portland. It was like, what? Mm-hmm. You know? So,
and it blows a lot of air, too. That's another thing. The German cars don't blow a lot of air. So.
Who always had a really great air conditioner, Cadillac. Cadillacs made a nice air conditioner in their cars.
The Americans do. They have air conditioning down. So, yeah, it does a real good job of that.
I've never owned a Cadillac, but that's just one of those little things that I know somehow.
Well, Cadillac is also coming out with a car. Then we'll get to the markets called the ELR, and it's going to come out late this year. And it's going to be based on the underpinnings of the Chevy Volt. It'll have the extended range thing. It's going to be a very beautiful looking car, a very high-end kind of car for people who want to go that route and give you, you know, 40, 50 miles worth of electric driving, and then it switches over to its gas generator.
Cadillac
is, yeah.
ELR
versus
Chevy Volt 2.0.
Click a picture up for your listeners who are here. I want to take a look at that. There was a picture there, if you go back.
Yeah, let me just back up.
There you are. Just go take the third one. Take the third one over. Yeah, take that. There it is. it's, you can almost see a little bit of the Chevy Bolt shape in it, but it's very pretty and an angular kind of shape, beautifully done, lots of nice, you know, stuff all over it. And that's for people who, you know, that's the luxury guy. That's the guy who's looking to, you know, be swathed in luxury. That's a
Tesla.
This
is it right here too?
No, that's a Tesla.
Oh, that's the Tesla. Okay.
So I don't know where, what happened to your picture there, but.
Well, I clicked on the picture in the.
I saw that. Yeah.
I clicked on the picture in the ad, or in
and
the.
And it went to test. Oh, there you go. That's basically it.
So that's it.
You can see it. So that's coming out at the end of the year. For those of you, the listeners that like to drive in luxury and.
That looks nice. It really does.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautifully done car. Beautiful stuff. And all that technology is the Voltec technology. Everyone's going to be doing this. You guys, you know, the ones that the naysayers that are still out there, you're going to be driving it as well. Yeah, not the ELR necessarily, but you know, either a hybrid or a straight up full electric. And it just pleases me. The half the fun is in the acceleration and the funness of driving the car. The other half is in the efficiency and the pleasure of driving in absolute silence. There's no sound at all except your tires rolling, and it's got immediate response from your accelerator that no piston engine can replicate. None. Because it's all the torque is immediately available. So you're going to love it. Just like Michael Jackson in Back to the Future when he was on stage after he played the Johnny B. Goode, he said, you kids are going to love this.
Okay, Matt wants to know if you like the Spark better than the Volt.
I don't have enough time in the Spark yet to tell you. I will tell you this. The Volt is a better car. It's almost double the price until they lower it. The Volt is a little pricey. And I've had it for a year and a half. The Volt does everything well. The Volt is a very, almost sensuous, believe it or not, car. The way that it moves and the way that it pushes you in the seat and all that. It's a really, really amazing piece of engineering, way beyond what people recognized when the car first came out, the political football that it became and so on. It's probably the most complex car, not complex like it breaks down, complex, beautifully engineered complexity ever made, the Chevy Bolt, far, far more complex than, as an example, the Tesla Model S. The Chevy Bolt has over 10 million lines of code running all of its systems. A Phantom whatever jet has 6 million lines of code, you know, a war jet. It's a very sophisticated car. I've never had a single problem with it. There's no way it's not better than the Spark. But the Spark serves an entirely different crowd. It's a low-end car with a very high-end drivetrain in it, and it gives you the ability to go 90 or 100 miles zipping around with very punchy acceleration all day. So it's really cool. It's a different thing. I've only had it for a day, so I really don't know yet. I'll let you guys know as I get more time in it. But you can tell that it's when you drive it, you can tell it's not of the same caliber of the Chevy Volt.
Gotcha.
Okay, enough about
all
cars.
Right.
Let's move on.
You'd ask a question if people were thoughtful enough to put in answers. You asked earlier about global warming, if people thought it was real.
I did.
Wes says no. Pete says, I hear it's going to hit 129 in Death Valley. Michael says, yes, it's called weather. It always changes.
Mm-hmm.
Rod says, no on measurable global warming for the last 15 years. Okay, so he doesn't think it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Pete says, the record temperature in Death Valley is 134.
134.
Ted, who's left, said, this is weather, not global warming. Charts show that global warming mostly increases winter temperatures, not summer ones.
Uh-huh.
Dan says, I say it's false, and someone told me for everyone that says it's true, there is someone that says it's not. So people are equally divided.
Uh-huh.
Kyle says, I think global warming exists, but I have read we will never output anywhere near all the volcanoes.
Uh-huh.
John says, if global warming were real, we would all be burned up or under the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Wes also says Death Valley was 134, 100 years ago.
Yeah. There's a lot of good arguments,
Kyle,
by the way. Go ahead.
Says, remember the one in Iceland shut down half of Europe's airports? He's talking about the volcano. No traffic jam can do that. And Ted had also commented before he left, emissions from a car is a tiny compared with emissions from volcanoes worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Homer says, no, there is no global warming. Check the East temps. It is the coolest spring and summer in years. It is a balance. The planet is down about 0.03 degrees in the last few years. We have not had an increase in years, just a normal cycle.
And that's a great point, the normal cycle, because, you know, you can make the argument that it's going that there's global cooling when the cycle has us getting cooler, and then you can make the argument that there's global warming when it gets warmer. there's a lot of talk about the icebergs or in Alaska that things are melting and all these things together. I don't know what to make of it, and I really appreciate the people, the listeners, chiming in. I tend to discount a lot of what I hear in regard to it being true, but I also have to say that there's an awful lot of people on Earth that are producing emissions. They may or may not match what volcanoes do, but together it has to have some impact. My question is how much is that impact? What is that impact? I don't believe it's as impactful as they may be leading us to believe. And, you know, with things the way they are now, everybody, no one says what they really mean. Do they want us to go down the global warming path because of some other real plan that they have? You know, I don't know. But the one thing I can say about, you know, the emissions in cars is they've been reduced dramatically in the last 30 years. The smog that comes out of cars, the hydrocarbons inside, is just almost, it's almost gone. The cars have become so clean. So we have made progress in that area. If someone wanted to make that argument that you know, the smog from cars is causing this, go ahead.
Ken says that if you can get it, there is a current program running on PBS that has to do with global warming. He says it's very detailed in analyzing the atmosphere and the oceans and how they interconnect. Ken, if you know the name of that, type it in so I can share it with the folks. The sheep
in
New Zealand contribute to the emissions in the atmosphere. That's from Gary.
Okay. All right. I'm not even going to ask, actually, on live radio why that might be.
Flatulence, I guess. I don't know. Ken's going to check on the name of that show.
Okay, well, good. Thank you, guys. That's very interesting.
That's good.
Let's move over. Let's take a quick look at the markets. We have this is, again, just been an amazing week of movement. Last 3 weeks have been just amazing. Today, the S&P has – we both talked yesterday that the S&P 500 had attempted to go higher to reach the 16 level, which is to some degree a natural level in this time frame. In fact, very much so. And they've reached as high as 14.5, which is a point and a half earlier than that. And today's not over, and it's possible that we could make one more attempt at it. As it sits right now, we may have already made our best attempt at it, and that would send prices lower into Monday or Tuesday. Now, next week, Thursday, July 4th, and I think the markets are going to probably get pretty quiet even by Tuesday, July 2nd. And the reason why is because a lot of people might be traveling on Wednesday, you know, to get to places to take their 4 or 5 day holiday, whatever that is. So we may end up seeing quiet markets anyway. We thought we might be seeing quiet markets as a normal thing here coming into summer, but we've got very, very volatile markets. So we may still see some good action next week. The bigger picture for us is that we believe an important weekly bottom is in, and that whatever pullback we do get from this is really going to represent buying territory or buying opportunity for a multi-week advance. That's what we think is going to happen. we're going to be back up into the, you know, into higher prices, the 1630 and higher over the next couple of weeks, if not higher. And that is going to leave us with a nice opportunity for trades. And this is where, by the way, this is what we do when we've shown our work in the statements. What we're doing is we're looking at the index, waiting for important junctures based on a reflected wave top or bottom, in this case a weekly bottom, and the weekly bottom is actually due in July, the first week of July, so this is 1 week early. And then we go to the stock charts and we find stocks and we buy those stocks or sell puts against those stocks. And many of you have seen those statements where all we're doing is selling time premium and in volume. And, you know, some of the stocks go up some. Some go up more. Some drift sideways or lower. But the in aggregate, you get a very nice response from the index having bottomed. And these individual stocks, and some of them really run really good, and you can do really well with these options. So I do re-encourage anybody who has been thinking about doing the options to study them and go get a book, you know, like Options for Dummies. Not that you're a dummy, but that they just explain it very easily and very comfortably to people. It took me quite some time to get it into my head, what they were, how they worked, and so on. But they're very real. They're very real. They are a derivative. You know, that's a bad word. It used to be. But they're very real. They serve a very real purpose, options do. And let me give you an example. This is a great example. If you go to buy a product from a company, or even a house for that matter, and they say, well, we'd like a $2,500 deposit, and we'll give you a contract, and that contract is essentially a delivery date. They're going to say, we're going to deliver a house to you, and you've put $2,500 down. And that is kind of how futures work, isn't it? That you can put a very small amount down for the future delivery of a product. And options are similar to that, that there is a, you have the option, no pun intended, to take delivery or not to. And you can participate in the movement of the underlying asset in the meantime. I'm really simplifying it, but this is a very important thing. There's a real need for people to do this, to buy things with a small down payment for the future delivery. Like as an example, maybe you're going to order a car, and they say, well, give us $1,000, we'll give you a contract, and the car comes out in September, you can come pick it up. Well, you have essentially a futures contract in your hand because you paid $1,000 for a contract that guarantees you delivery of a product on a date. That's a futures contract right there. That's how futures work. Now, if you wanted to, if that car was some special thing, you could actually, maybe you wake up one morning and you read in the paper that there's a whole new swirl of news around that car and everybody wants it now. Well, you are in line for that car and you could take your contract and you put $1,000 on it. You could sell it to somebody else for $3,000. And mm-hmm. You could say, well, you know what, if you really want this contract, I'm in line to get it on this date. If you want that, you have to pay me $3,000 because the car's value has gone up, and therefore the value of my contract has gone up. Somebody pays you $3,000, and you made 300% in that case on your $1,000 or $200 or whatever. You made on your $1,000. So that's exactly how the futures market works. You never took delivery of the product. You bought when it was low and you thought there was going to be later demand. The market moved up. Everybody wants what you put your money down on. You can sell that contract. That's what we're doing in the futures market. So the futures market isn't the place for people to gamble. It can be used that way and go ahead if you want to, but it actually serves a dramatically important purpose, which is what I'm talking about, the ability to tie up an asset in the future for future delivery and then make a decision whether or not you want to take delivery of it or sell your contract to somebody who does want to take delivery or someone who thinks something else is going to happen with it. So that actually is more of a basics on the futures contracts and what we're doing in the market. And none of us intend, obviously, on taking delivery in the vast majority of cases. We're simply buying when we think it's low and selling when we think it's high and so on. We provide a lot of liquidity to those markets by doing so. So but I don't tell people, you know, they say, what do you do for a living? Well, I provide liquidity to the futures markets. That's a good way to tell people what you do for a living. Anyway, the big picture for the S&P is we are expecting a multi-week advance. This is the last week of the year. This is the last of the month of June. This is Friday. So next week is the beginning of July and the beginning of the new week. We think there's going to be a multi-week advance, and we'll take advantage of it in a number of different ways. In the meantime, we'll see how we come in on Monday. We are at a critical juncture here on the upside, but we haven't done anything with it for a longer term, you know, position yet. I want to see how they handle today. They've done nothing wrong today at all. As a matter of fact, the lowest number in our support and resistance panel is 94. They went down to that level today, and they've bounced very nicely off of it, and they are acting very well so far. So yeah,
it's been a great day. I mean, off this number at 1605 that we tweeted out, we had a 9-point swing, a 7-point swing, a 9-point swing, and last night when we published on the blog, we said if we can't get above this little shaded area, I put a chart out on there. In fact, I got that chart. Where'd that chart go? Right here. It said that that's a really important area. Watch that, because when I sent the picture out, this is what we were dealing with right here. We hadn't got up to challenge this area, but right here, a failure to break the top of the shaded area will send us back to test 1605, which we did. Now, what's interesting, I've drawn this out on the daily chart. We've come to test the zone. Now we're back to 1605, but from the bigger picture perspective, and again, guys, we don't use fibs as a standalone trading methodology. I don't even know to what degree David looks at them at all.
I don't.
But I use them as a confirmation tool. Okay, the bigger picture, if we go back to this swing low, to the swing high, the swing low that was put in back in October, up to the recent swing high, okay, this pullback that we just had, down to 1560, that was a 38% retracement. Now, if we go the other way and we go from the swing high down to the most recent swing low, today we're sitting right at a 38% retracement. So from the big move up, 30% retracement, turned the market. Here, down, 38% retracement. So what we have here is an area where the market will, for lack of a better term, will get involved in a little skirmish, a little battle back and forth to determine if, in fact, this is going to be a retracement or if it's going to be something more, if it's going to be a reversal. How would we know? Well, on this side, if we take out this swing low here, that will be important. But we have various levels on the way down. Right there, that's going to line up with your 50. This is going to line up with your 62. And these are confirming levels. So you'll have confluence at these different areas if that were to happen. Okay? And the same thing is true on the upside. If we start to climb, okay? This area here was a 38 above that. There's this, and then once we break this little double top right here, which is just above the 62, then that opens the door for us to run right back up and challenge those all-time highs at 1685.75, which someone had asked about, I think, a couple days ago. They said, do you see – well, how did that question go, David? Something about a multi-week bounce to go back to those highs? Is that how that went?
Something like that. Are you talking about something I said or someone else?
No, somebody had had a question about
the other day.
Mm-hmm. So, guys, I just want to because I had drawn this up, I want to explain real briefly what that was about. I'll try to hang out for just a little bit today after the show, and if you have questions, we'll come back to this chart, and we'll talk about it, and I'll go into some more detail and try to explain it to you as best I can. And then the question, of course, is, okay, well, that's cute or clever or interesting or even fascinating, but how do I use that information? That's really what it always comes down to. How do I trade that? How do I turn that into a trade? Where do I get in and where do I get out? Okay, great questions. Okay, and anytime somebody shows you something that's clever and cool and interesting and fascinating, that should always, you know, be polite. Okay, wow, that's great. How do I trade it? See, if it can't be translated into an actual trade, then it's still interesting. It's still fascinating. But, I mean, there's lots of things in life. Yeah, there's lots of things in life that are interesting and fascinating. So that's kind of a litmus test. All right, how do I – and if they go, well, you know, then okay. Well, that's fair enough. He's telling you he doesn't know. He's just saying he's – so, all right, I'll stick around, but David, I know that you know you want to get moving here, so let's go to gold.
Or yeah, let's take a quick look.
S&P? Is there anything else?
I'm done with the S&Ps. I think the bigger picture is the most important thing, and I think people can sell premium or if you are trading in stocks, do the stock purchasing. If you want to trade in futures, I'm right at this juncture right here. We're waiting to see what happens. There's not always a moment to do something in the market. In fact, most of the moments we're not doing something in the market. We're doing one of two things. We're waiting for a trade or you know, to occur to set up, or we're in a trade waiting for the market to further confirm that trade. Those are the two things that we spend most of our time doing when it comes to the market.
And guys, really give some serious thought to what he just said. That most of the time he's not in a trade. Mm-hmm. Most of the time he's waiting on a trade. The other day we put out this tweet. It's for 1605. We put it out on this candle right here. 18 hours later, it triggered, and then it ran the the whole thing. The 9-point swing happened in 2 hours. So we alerted on the trade. Patiently waited 18 hours for it to trigger, and then boom, boom, in 2 hours, it was done. It was ready to reset and hand out another trade. So I know when I first started trading, I was, you know, there was this incredible ATM machine, so I thought, sitting on my desk, and I just wanted to keep taking money out of it, and the only way to take money out of it was I had to have a hook in the water, you know? Mm-hmm. I always had to have a trade on so that I felt alive, and that was flawed thinking, okay? So if you find yourself feeling that way, anxious and antsy, like you always need to have a position on, I would suggest that you maybe rethink that. Now, if you're doing well and making money, who am I to, you know, mess with success? But maybe if you're struggling and having a difficult time and you're battling that feeling and that emotion, talk to somebody. Talk to your broker. Talk to someone who knows a thing or two about trading. Talk to Robin, the trading coach. Maybe she can, you know, provide some help. But it was a real problem for me. It really was. Yeah. And then the pendulum swung the other way. After I got over that, then I would put on a nice trade. It would be a winning trade. I would take a nice profit. And I was on such a pink cloud that I didn't want to potentially spoil the good feeling by putting on another trade the next day and getting stopped out. So I would just like glide on that cloud, you know, for days and even weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, okay, wait a minute, this is the, you know, this is the opposite of the other problem. You got to find some kind of middle ground that actually makes sense.
Right. We're not really trading to generate a feeling or to in.
Right.
We're trading because there's a real opportunity that we understand. A difference between an emotion and, you know, really understanding what you're doing. And that can generate an emotion, but we're not, the purpose is not, if you are trading to generate emotions that feel good, emotions have a very, very subtle way of tricking you and so on. We're not doing that. We're leaving that aside. And whatever good feelings we have from trading, that it's more in the nature of satisfaction for having done the right thing and followed through no matter what the outcome. How about that? How about feeling good no matter what the outcome? Not that losing is going to feel good, but if you did everything you were supposed to do and if you understood the entry and got yourself in because the setup was your high probability setup, then the outcome isn't as important emotionally because you're doing everything that you think you're supposed to do. And you can live with that, and there's a feeling of satisfaction. Certainly winning, quote-unquote, is nicer feeling than losing. But after a while, and I wrote about this many years ago in a CQG article, and I basically said that you start looking at it more in a business sense, that gains are taken and you have losses, which are expenses. Those expenses, just like any businessman, has expenses. And that's what it starts looking like to you after a while. After you get past the whole thing of trying to feel good about your life through trading or using it as a means to feel something, you really, in the end, will find that that is a beautiful picture that sort of like shimmers and keeps causing you to do wrong things. Much better, obviously, to simply know what you're doing and go do that when the market gives you that opportunity. You can do that in any number of ways, just because there's any number of ways to trade the market. But you have to know it from yourself. It has to be there in front of you, and you take action. and you do the right things. It's like other things in life. You know, when you do the right thing, doesn't that feel nice? I mean, even if there's no personal gain for you, just doing the right thing, it just has a nice feeling to it. It's, for me, it's more akin to those kinds of feelings, and I really mean that. I really mean it is, because there are going to be days where you have huge gains. There's going to be days where you have nothing. You have days where you have losses. In the end, you get tired of swinging back and forth and trying to use all of the potential that the market has for you as a shimmering dream in front of you. It's much better to just go quiet, go sane, and just simply trade the market as best as you understand it and feel the goodness of doing the right thing over and over again rather than maybe chasing the shimmering dream. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when it comes to that. And I lived on that shimmering dream for many, 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 many years before I realized that I was sort of doing to myself things through that were not serving me well. Mm-hmm. And so it does feel good to do the right thing, just like it does in other areas of life. Just to simply do the right thing, even though there might not even be a gain involved, you just feel good because you did the right thing. It's like that in the markets. So
yeah, a couple of Fridays ago, my office had gotten a little cluttered, that's to put it lightly, and so I just said, you know what, enough. I put on some nice music, and I got busy, and I totally cleaned my office, you know, polished the glass desktop, the whole, and I texted Michael. He's not on here now, or he could confirm it, but I texted him. I said, I just cleaned my office, and I feel like Superman.
Yeah, right. Because it was the right thing to do.
I felt so good. Yeah.
No, it's that kind of feeling in trading and doing this. Instead of looking for a dream that includes you with some future glory, you're simply doing the right thing, and it feels right to do it. And that includes in how you trade and so on. So I think people, I'm sure they do. I'm sure people understand what we're getting at there. Okay, let's go on to also with gold here. I just want to mention, although this isn't an outright forecast, there's a real possibility that we're going to see a test that they're going to bounce, and we're going to see maybe 1255 to 1258 in fairly short order into next week. And we may actually turn that into a trade short term here. So we'll talk about that on Monday and Tuesday, and we'll be here. We'll go quickly through these because there's just a few others that as we're getting closer to the holiday, I'm finding myself less interested, although we'll still trade into Tuesday, but from that point forward, I'm not sure we're going to hold a lot of positions. So let's move on into the bonds. I don't have anything new to add to the bonds. We all know about the bond market, the interest rate. The party's over. You know, we're getting into some higher interest rates now. They're still very low.
Did you hear what the fellow said from the Fed the other day? Did you read his speech?
No, tell me.
Well, I don't have it in front of me, but basically he kind of said everything that Bernanke said the other day. Maybe that's not – I think you guys took it wrong. In other words, he was like trying to backpedal and – I don't know if he's backpedaling, but he was trying to re-explain it that this change in what the Fed is doing is not all that imminent the way Bernanke had made it sound, and that the economy still has to do a lot of recovering, and that mm-hmm. that interest rate figure that was – or the unemployment rate – that figure that was used as a benchmark for when the change would happen, he said, you know, we may have to go way beyond that before there's any actual. He was just really, I think, trying to put the market mm-hmm. at ease. Hey, you guys have overreacted to this thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe the market has overreacted, and maybe the market just doesn't particularly feel the love that it felt, so to speak, but with the $80 billion a year, $80 billion a month, excuse me, you know, that they've been putting in. I think that has worn out. We'll certainly have a rally at some point here in the bond market, but I'm really at the point where we may actually be done. I think we probably are done with the very, very low interest rates. They're still very good. They're still going to look even better from 6% looking back. And from 7% looking back, because we will be there again. Interest rates move slowly. They take time to get to where they're going most of the time. But in the last month and a half, we have had a 16 or 17 handle move in the futures market, and the interest rates went for the ordinary investor from 3.5 to 3.6 all the way up to 4.5, 4.7. So full point difference, which is a big difference, and for investors even more. So you know. It's interesting, though, that there's, that you're saying that, because the government doesn't like high interest rates right now. They believe that the low interest rates will spur on the economy. I'm of a little different faith. I do like the low interest rates, and I will take advantage of them and all that, but I really think that somewhat higher interest rates are better for the economy than the government may believe, and that's just my interpretation. It's my take on it. Okay, going over to the euro, gosh, we've had such a huge move down in the euro and continuing lower. We've talked about it. We believe that they're going lower into July with some targets on the downside. We've talked about this. So I won't add anything to that. Crude oil, this is really the, you know how sometimes the people go, well, this is the trade of the week, or this is the, you know, whatever it is. This was a really good example, a really simple and straightforward and easy to trade, most likely, example of that kind of trade. We had a June 24th bottom. Many markets had turns on June 24th. This is a reflected wave date. The crude oil market had that bottom. And we've had a really nice rally. Not that you would have gotten all this, but from 92.67 up so far to 97.82. Now, this is, that's a sizable move. You're getting near 5 points, which is 5,000 per contract. Very nice setup, nice move in the markets. You know, have you ever felt like whenever you get in the market, it never acts like you see it act when you're not in the market? Has that ever crossed your mind, that thought?
Well, I think it's probably happened to a few of us.
Yeah. That is a good example of a poisonous
thinking.
To me. Yes, poisonous thought, because that indicates that there's an awful lot of fear about getting into the market because it won't do what you think it's going to do or what it did, you know, quote unquote, last time. Be present in the market. Be willing to take what it's going to do. Instead of saying, I need it to do this exact thing, otherwise I'm just going to, you know, have to jump out a window, it's not going to do the exact thing. It may get to where you want it to go, but it has to do a little shimmy cocoa pop on the way there. You have to be ready for that and be willing to face the, I mean, you know, be inviting that instead of running from that, because it is going to happen. Instead of taking what the market does and saying, God, I wish it wouldn't do that, why don't you want it to do that and deal with that.
Exactly.
It's so much better.
Yeah.
It's
so
much better to do it that way. Because I did it the other way, which is I really want, I needed to do this one thing. I need it. Oh, no, I can't pull back here. I got to. And I realized, you know what? It just does this differently every time. Learn, I don't even want to sound like pop psychology, but to embrace, but invite that, because it's going to do it differently. And adjust your trading to accept that and to look forward to that rather than demanding, and that if they don't do it this certain way, then you're going to be mad. And, gosh, it always does it this way when I watch it. But in reality, it's not the same as being in, and, you know, on and on and on. Just a suggestion. The flip around in your own psychology can make a huge difference in how you approach and manage your own trading business. So I don't want to wake up sweating. I don't want to go to bed sweating, nervous. I either have to love what the markets are all about or fear what the markets are all about. I'd rather love them. Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, I know that's that, you know, the whole idea that you're going to put the market in a half Nelson and make
exactly.
it do whatever you want it to do. That's
probably, honey, I've got the market in a half Nelson. Come here, look, check this out.
I mean, instead of the market being, instead of waking up every day and thinking, God, you know, I'm gonna beat the market, or however that thinking goes. Instead, say, you know, the market is not my enemy. The market is my business partner.
That's
Let's
right.
work together, and he's the senior partner in our firm. And so, whatever he's doing, I'm all for it, and I'm gonna go right along with him.
Mm-hmm.
If he's up, I'm up. If he's down, down with him. I got the speech here. I don't want to read the whole speech, but I've got the thing from Dudley. Fed Dudley, markets wrong to think tighter policy coming soon. Now, this speech was made just a couple days ago. Top U.S. central bank official warned financial markets Thursday they're reading the Federal Reserve wrong if they think a tightening in monetary policy has gotten closer. A rise in short-term rates is very likely to be a long way off, even as it's possible that the central bank may slow the pace of its bond buying program later this year. The official noted the shift in market rates that followed last week's Monetary Policy Setting Federal Open Market Committee, the FOMC meeting, is seen by observers as signaling rate rises could come much earlier than previously thought. Mr. Dudley, who's at the core of the decision-making, said, "Let me emphasize that such an expectation would be quite out of sync with both FOMC statements and the expectations of most participants." He means the other guys that vote on this thing. So, I mean, he really went out of his way to say that you guys have taken this. So I'll put this link for anyone that wants to delve into that farther. I'm going to put the link in the chat room right now for everybody, and after the show you can go and read that thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, good. Well, let's move on. We'll take a few other markets here. So crude, we had a beautiful setup in crude, and they're moving higher. I do believe a slightly higher prices, just short-term, are coming, but the bigger picture for us on crude, of course, is the longer-term outlook, which is for much higher prices over a number of months. So keep that in mind. And then finally, both silver and gold had nice reactions today on the upside after really prolonged declines here. And we're keeping an eye on that. We're watching, of course, the what we talked about earlier, the Australian dollar. We're not touching that. That has had a tremendous, take a look at your monthly chart, tremendous.
Wow, this silver really, that's a powerful little signal right there if you're a candlestick type person on the daily chart.
Some people say I look like a candlestick because I'm very thin. And they'll say, boy, you're thin as a candlestick.
What market did you just say?
I was just saying, recapping the Australian dollar, that is just an amazingly huge move down that this market has had in the last 2 months. And then on Tesla, a few days back, we had the buy signal, again, June 24th. I know several people potentially in this audience, in our audience here, that had sold a premium against that bottom for an advance. We took some profits at the 104.60 level, and then we've moved higher today. And in our institutional meeting, we suggested that people take some more, and that may either flattens them out or maybe they have a tiny bit left to see if we can get to new highs with this market. You know, one of the new things that has happened, we talked about the battery swapping deal that Tesla is doing. So you can drive your car across the country for free forever by owning a Tesla and going to their free charging stations that are high-speed chargers. Or if you don't want to wait 20 minutes or 30 minutes for your big 85-kilowatt battery to get 80% charge, you can have your battery swapped out for about a $75 charge. It's the battery that they put in it is freshly charged. It's all automated. It takes 90 seconds to do. And so what he's doing is he's taking every downside for the potential purchaser of an electric car, and he's solving every one of their objections. Well, you know, it doesn't have the range. Well, we have these charging stations. Well, I don't want to wait. Okay, well, then we have the battery swapping stations. Well, you know, how many things can you say before you say, well, I'll take one? How's that? And so he's solving all those problems, and each one of these stations will cost about $500,000. His company will finance those, put them all over the country, starting in California, where they're from. And before you know it, you know, you'll have no excuse not to have one. So we'll move on from there. That's the latest, though, that's going on with Tesla and their rush to change literally the entire transportation industry almost single-handedly here. The dollar, we talked about the dollar having a breakout the other day from the June 24th, what would normally have been a top, they broke out. That's a very powerful signal and a reflected wave. And they've moved dramatically higher. We continue to watch, and some of us trade that. I gave this out earlier today, but I've given it out enough so that it doesn't matter now. I think the dollar is going to continue higher. It's not that far from there now, but I think it's going to continue higher to 83.70. We're trading right now at 83.40, so 41. But before this run is over, we still have somewhat higher prices coming in the dollar. So, you know, maybe that's something you can take advantage of. In cocoa, we have had a long position in cocoa for a number of days that we had taken some profits. and got stopped out on the second half of that position today on the dive down in September cocoa. And then the market turned right around and firmed back up. And we may do something with this later, but we haven't done anything with it yet. We'll wait and see. We had moved our stop up, by the way, recently, and by moving it up, the market was able to hit it, and that took us out. So that is one of the things that happens from time to time in markets. And instead of worrying about that happening, instead of being afraid that that's going to happen, why not just love that that is part of what the markets do? And the markets are strangely, in a strange way, they're like life. They're very fair. They give everybody opportunities. And, you know, you do get your opportunities in the market to get it right. And sometimes for long periods of time, you can do very well. But if you notice your trend changing, your own personal trend changing, or you're not able to pull it off, something has changed, shrink down your size. Don't trade huge in order to fix your trend change, because you have a trend as well. You know, we know that. You know, you're not independent of the concept of fluctuation. You're a person. You fluctuate up and down. You have moods, and we all have these
biorhythms.
Biorhythms, right?
Remember that? I haven't heard that term in a while. Biorhythms. What was that supposedly based on? That was based upon your internal clock or something.
Yeah, you have your emotional, your intellectual, and your spiritual, and these three things are moving. And when they're really in good sync, you know, then you go out and you do something.
I also had a mood ring. Remember those?
Oh, I loved the mood rings. Yeah. Mine was black.
I was just going to say, mine was always black, yeah.
Why is my mood ring black, honey? This is really funny. Look at this. anyway, yeah, the mood ring. That had legs. That ran for a while.
Oh, right up there with the pet rock.
Yeah, it really was. Okay, so let's see. A couple other quick markets here. We have too much of
Common. Question from Ken, and I know your answer, but I'll let you answer it. In general, doesn't the higher dollar mean lower gold and crude prices?
Well, number one, I don't necessarily connect the markets that way. But number two, if it does, if you're 100% correct, then there's nothing wrong with that. We are expecting lower gold prices in the third quarter, in spite of any rally that we talked about a minute ago that was possible up to that number. We're still expecting a third quarter low. So the markets, listen, it's not tick for tick and day for day that if this goes up, that immediately goes down. There is looseness between those two things in many of these markets. The bonds can rally strong on a day that the S&P is up, as an example. The bonds may go down when the S&P goes down. But ultimately, a lot of these connections are not as directly connected so that that any little move up has to be followed by an immediate move down in the other market. So I don't see any problem with his postulating that and with what we've said, that we're looking for a third quarter bottom in gold. Crude oil certainly has rallied. I mean, here it is. I mean, it's a fact. It has rallied, is going higher in spite of the other market movements. Right now. But we are expecting further higher right now, and that is maybe counter to some of these connections that people make. But, you know, I can't answer it any further than that because I don't make the direct connection as maybe some do, maybe the listener that's asking, but maybe not. I don't make them that directly because they don't work that way. They're not that direct. However, one of the most direct, if you want to check it out, is the dollar and the euro. Now, there's two markets that they're not even direct, but they're pretty gosh darn direct. They really do tend to run opposite of each other, and so you definitely will see that. But we make the forecasts, and we trade them, and we do the best we can, and sometimes that correlation will take us out of the market. What you're saying could end up being true. So, but we're going to trade off of the indications as we understand them, just as you are going to trade off your indications as you understand them, and all of that makes a market. You know, if we all thought the same way, I'm not sure there would be much of a market. So,
Okay, David, it is now time for that portion of our daily programming. Let me get the stage set here properly. Okay. And it is called Trading 911. All right, we have a question in the chat box. Is there any chance that the S&P might go up 3 points anytime soon?
Is he asking me that?
Well, he's asking anybody that'll give him an answer.
Oh, okay. Well, we're almost done. I think we're basically done with the markets as they sit today. I know soybeans is having a really good day down today, and we could comment on that.
I think someone's caught in a position.
Yes.
And they're hoping that the market might go up 3 points to make them whole.
Okay.
I'm reading an awful lot into this question.
And
if I'm wrong, please, just let me know, dude, you're wrong. Okay.
Okay.
Quit trying to be Carnac.
I would. I'd like to answer that as well. Just a couple things. First of all, you should be trading in a manner that if you are at the point, if what Duane just said was true, that if the market moved against you, you should have been using a stop, and that would have told you that you're wrong. If you're not using a stop and you're hoping for somebody to tell you, and maybe perhaps I could tell you, you know what, in the next hour we're supposed to be a little bit higher at such and such a number, that would help you this time, but then you would repeat the error next time. And repeating errors in the markets are logarithmic in their destruction. They don't stay the same. The errors tend to grow in destructive force. So I would not be doing you a great favor by helping you out of a position by saying in the third hour of such and such day or whatever, we think it's going to be here, because it helps you then do another error, which is to do the same thing again, and the destructive power of those errors goes up. Now, if that's not the case, the market, I will answer it in this way. The market is very quiet, and you know, as we can see here, this is pre-weekend market behavior here, if I've ever seen it. I'm not looking for anything in particular right now, for anything to happen in particular, but I want you, whoever that listener is, to understand the gravity and the depth of what I said, and it's true, and anybody who's been in markets knows it. If you repeat the same error over and over again, you don't tend to get the same equal results. The results tend to get worse, and they go almost logarithmically worse. Error number one, you lose $200. Error number two, you lose $400. Error number three, you lose $1,600. And by the time you go down, it's like the grain of sand thing, the grain of rice thing with the chessboard. All I want, you know, King Jordan, is, you know, if you want to reward me, just give me a chessboard and let me put, you know, one grain of rice on each square and let me just double it every time. And then whatever the number is, you give me that much rice and you've paid me in full. And, of course, when you get to the end of it, the amount of rice is more rice than has ever been produced in the history of man because the numbers double. Be very careful about duplicating the same error over, because the destructive force grows logarithmically, and in the end, all it does is cause you to go down a known path of destruction. There's enough unknown in life for you to have to worry about. Don't go down the known path, please. You know, that's like drinking and taking barbiturates. You know, we know that will probably kill you. Don't do that. Repeating errors like holding on to losing positions is a logarithmic destructive force that will end badly in trading and in other areas of life. Go ahead, Duane, if you had something.
I was just going to say, I mean, I drew a trend line earlier here across these, this is on an hourly chart, across these tops. So we ran into that, and we're, you know, reacting to that trend line right now. We would have to get through that area, and we not only have that issue there with the trend line that I've drawn at an angle here, but we also have this one right there, okay, this swing high. That is a huge obstacle for the market right now at this point in time on a Friday to have to try to get through. So you got two things working against you. You've got this trend line, and you've got this swing high, which creates just, you know, resistance in the market. Price tried. Look at this. big bull candle, man. They were on fire. They ran it up. But when they got to the swing high at 1609.75, all this energy here that was spent getting a signal, they couldn't go any further. They couldn't take it higher. It's from 1609.75, they got slapped back down to 1600.5, so about 9 points. So my suggestion is if that's the case, I would say, let's see, the question was, could the market go up 3 points anytime soon? I'm just going to go with, I don't think so. I mean, anything can happen. Let me say that first. Anything can happen. But I would, if I were in a position right now that needed the market to go higher, I would consider getting out. Because the situation could get worse. And that's today's Trading 911.
Oh, there you are. Well, Dwayne, I think that's everything
okay,
I have.
Okay, another question here.
Oh,
let's see. Would a stop below 1605 make sense here for them? Well, yeah. Yeah, it's possible. I hope that helped you. And certainly don't think we're making light of your position. Far from it. We are being very, I mean, I know your pain. I know David knows your pain. I know what it is to be in a position. And, man, why can't the thing just go, you know, a few ticks in my direction or a few points in my direction? And it's not a good spot to be in. And it's like the Band-Aid, you know. You can peel it off really slowly or you can just snatch it off and be done with it. And I also know the thinking. Well, as surely as I get out, and because, see, right now I don't have a realized loss, okay? It's just numbers. But if I get out, then it becomes a real – well, it's already a real loss. And it could get worse. And so, yeah, you know, based upon my work, I'll just leave it with that. I don't foresee us going higher here. For you, if you're still in that and you choose to stay in it, then I hope I'm wrong and it does go higher for you. David, there's a question. Matt has put this in twice, Matt M. It looks like we're approaching good buying levels in wheat and corn for seasonal swings in July. Do you have anything? We haven't looked at corn or wheat in ages.
What month is he in wheat? Because September is very thin. So
okay, let me let's see. At Z, what's the symbol, guys? At ZW, that's going to be my – so I'm going to use a continuous chart. Tell me what month you're in, Matt. Matt's in U. So I'll go straight to that. I'll go
wow,
to
that is, yeah.
ZW, that's very thin. U3. Okay. This will give us an accurate volume profile. We've traded 50,000 contracts today. Is that what you showed, Dave?
I don't have the volume up.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have the volume up.
Huh. So these are, and the question was, it looks like we're approaching good buying levels in wheat and corn for seasonal swings up. Matt, if I could ask, what is it that you're using to, for you, because your statement is that it looks like we're approaching good buying levels. Could you share with us what maybe indicator or is it historical, like calendar prices? What is it that has you thinking about getting long here? Because I personally, I just don't have anything on my chart to get me long. And I don't know the historicals and all of that. Hey, have a great weekend, Vim. Okay, Matt says we dip down to the third standard deviation, and seasonally, it goes up in July. Okay, that's a little out of my wheelhouse, so I don't know, David, anything you can add to that?
Well, I will say something. Quite often, what he's using is a standard deviation methodology, which when it gets outside of the normal second or third standard deviation, which is a mathematical way of saying a distance from a mean, and he's on his third distance from the mean, is kind of a simple way of saying it. And I would say to him, you don't need, I mean, if that is what you're basing your trade on, That would be something for you to look for some confirmation at that third standard deviation and let the market show you, be willing to take a little less profit and let them confirm a little bit. And if the market is hitting that third standard deviation, that is very possibly a very good place to buy. Seasonality is a very, very cruel trading partner. And seasonality can look very, very good, but you have to wait for the market to confirm as best as you can and use something like what you're using. This happens to be his technique, using these standard deviations. So I think I don't think you really necessarily need us to say to you, yes, we think it's going to go higher, because I don't know. I don't follow the seasonality on wheat. And in fact, I do very, very little, if any, trading in wheat, although we do really like the soybean market, and there's nothing wrong with wheat. But I would let the market confirm at your third standard deviation somewhat, closing above it. I would start a position. Nothing wrong with layering into a position, not getting in all at once, and letting the market continue to confirm and putting a position together. You're talking obviously about a multi-week kind of position if you're talking about the seasonality. The reason I said what I said about seasonality is because it is very sloppy in a way of saying it, that it's not precision, and it shouldn't be. This is one of those things, again, instead of wishing that it was something that it isn't, which is, boy, I wish it was more accurate, why not love what it is and work with it? You'll go a lot farther than you will wishing that it was something other than that. And you'll find that you can be very creative once you've accepted it as it is, see it as it is, and work with it as it is, rather than being mad that it isn't the way you think it would like, you'd like it to be. That's how you make progress. So the seasonality can be a powerful overview of the market, but it's a very cruel master if you're trying to use it as timing. So when you say something like, well, it tends to go up in the month of July or whatever, I would want to see confirmation, and I even like what you're doing. I do. I like the fact that you say, hey, we're out of, and I don't know how you're setting up your deviations and, you know, all that, but let's just say you've got it good. I like that setup. I can't tell you that I don't. I don't know what the seasonality is, but a third standard deviation out and the market's, you know, running into stuff there, you know, you may be close to an important juncture. That would be one way to think of it. So without knowing the intricacies, and my September wheat looks extremely thin, I know nothing, but I'll tell you this, you do know something, and I would only ask you to wait for more confirmation and don't depend on the month of July or whatever month you mention as being the absolute, because seasonals, if they're good at anything, they're good at not being on time. They move around. It's a sloppy deal. So, after the fact, boy, look at that. It really ran. Well, find yourself a good entry and try to trade into that general time frame. Use a stop and trade well. You know, that would be the way to handle that. I don't know if anything else that I could tell you would be more useful than that. And the fact is that I do like what you said about where the position of the market is. But I would let them confirm a little bit because the markets, before they turn into a seasonal move, sometimes they have a spike down or whatever they're going to do. Give them a little time to confirm at that deviation if that's your approach, and see if they can start to confirm. A deviation, by the way, also can be seen. It sounds like a complex word. In Bollinger Bands, as an example, that's a good example. Or Keltner.
Yeah,
Keltner
he's using, channels. He said, he mentioned bands. So I don't know if they're Keltner Bands or Bollinger Bands or
I use rubber
type
bands
of a
just
seasonal
for my trading.
Or some kind of a third standard deviation bands is what he referred to. Here's if I had the backdrop of the deviation, and again, this is not something that I normally look at, so I'm just applying general charting philosophy to this situation. I like the idea of being long above 697. Now, that's quite a ways from where we are now. That's some 30 cents higher. I mean, you might say, gosh, that's my whole trade. Well, 697, consider being long above 97, and then know that 720 is an obstacle to a long trade, and then above that, 7.45 is an obstacle to the trade. Okay, because this one, well, we can take these two here, and we can kind of group these two together. This whole area right here, the market will have to work to get through that, this little area and here. And what we're doing with 697 is we're clearing those, these little highs right here. We're also getting up above the 62% retracement of this leg down. So we're waiting for the market to kind of prove itself that it really is serious about going higher. Now, could you just, you know, get long above anything above this high right here or here or here? You could. And if you're right, you could leg into the position, increasing your position until once you hit 697, you now have a full position on and you're running here because from here to here, you don't have much in the way of the trade. This is kind of clear sailing through this area to a degree. I mean, anything can happen. And, of course, with things like wheat and corn and soybeans, you always have Mother Nature that plays into it. Mother Nature doesn't have too big of an effect on the S&P 500 or the Dow or the Russell. I mean, I know natural disasters affect everything, but crop reports and all that sort of stuff can really do a number on the grains. So, but it sounds to me like you got a pretty good handle on what it is you're doing and how you're looking at it. If you do trade it, by all means, please let us know how it turned out for you, okay? And how it went, where you got in, and recap it for us. I'd like that very much.
Well, very good. Well, listen, Duane, I'd like to wish everybody a wonderful weekend away from the markets and taking some time off and getting some exercise and everything else that we should do. If you happen to see a white Chevy Spark EV on the road in Nevada, it's me because I'm the only one with one in Nevada.
That's how
you'll know it's me. Of course. The car just came out last Monday, and they don't sell them in Nevada. They only sell them in California right now. So who else is going to be?
You're such a trendsetter, Mr. Williams.
I'm telling you, that's a real trend. And, you know, people look at that car, and I almost see them laughing to themselves. It's so silly looking. And I love that. That's the trend I'm setting, the trend of silliness in traffic. Anyway, no. I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you guys on Monday. It should be an interesting week with the holiday and so on. And hope you have a great time on the weekend, and we'll see you then.
All right, David. Take care.
Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Guys, that's going to do it for this program. I got a dash because I just need to take a break so I can come right back. Coach's Corner in 20 minutes. Don't close this GoToWebinar room that you're in. If you're tuned in via the radio stream, just keep your radio on. If you're in looking at the charts, don't close it because you'll just have to reopen it. Now, it's going to be open mic on the Coach's Corner today. So, in other words, we don't have a specific topic that we're going to address. We're just going to open the floor up for questions. You all know Robin Dane, the trading coach. She's with us most days here on the live radio program. Today's your opportunity. Now, when you call the coach, you know, when you go to the shrink, right? She's not a doctor, by the way, but she's a coach. It costs money, real money. But today's free. Last time I checked, that was a great price. Okay? Today, you can ask questions and get them answered at no charge. That's a great deal. All you got to do is be back here in 20 minutes. If you have any questions on the charts, on trading, et cetera, so forth, and so on, I'll be happy to answer those when I come back. Will I have time for a short call later today? Yeah, sure, Ken. Just give me a call. In fact, call 949-42-E-MINI. 949-42-E-MINI. Mary, what workshop shows how to make the boxes you use? Like this little box that I drew here, you just grab this little guy right here, hold down the left mouse button. Is that what you're asking? Or are you referring more to what Michael does in the live trading room in the morning, when he says the market's in a box. Yeah, you just grab, okay, if you just want to know how to draw the actual box, not the philosophy behind it, you just, this little rectangle tool, hold down the left mouse button, drag it, and there you go. You can make them like that. You can make them, you know, you can resize them. You can make them any kind of, just double click it, and it'll give you the properties. You can make it, this looks pink on my chart, I guess because of the gray background, but the color it says is actually red. And you can do some different things with it. You can give it a border or no border. And then once you come up with whatever configuration you like, if you click here, save as default, and then close it, every box you make will look exactly the same. Okay? You won't have to go in and redo the properties. All right? Okay. All righty. Okay, guys, I'll be back again 15 minutes with Robin Dane for this Friday edition of the Coach's Corner. It is the weekend, so I hope you'll spend some quality time with your family. And, of course, I'll see you all in church on Sunday. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with his mercy and with his grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision. Manning the desk from our studio in Chicago is Burton Bert Schlichter. Bert is an e-mini options trading expert, teacher, and mentor. Countless retail and institutional clients have reaped the benefits of his 15 years of experience. He places a strong emphasis on trading the markets from a technical standpoint, and his extensive knowledge of options trading strategies is evident as a CFRN co-host. His impressive resume includes senior market analyst for Daniels Trading. Bert has also written for Reuters, CBS MarketWatch, and has been featured on British television for his S&P commentary. Tune in weekdays at noon Eastern for live reports straight from the broker's desk.